This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Sarah Love and Mice Diggy on FUBAR Radio.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's the Chocolate Boy Wonder, Pete Rock, and I'm about to tell y'all about the most important DJ in the UK, and her name is Sarah Love. Holla at her, you know what I mean? Chocolate Boy Wonder, Pete Rock says she's good. All right, peace.
It's all about Sarah Love and Mice Diggy right now, though.
Yeah, I know. There. I thought he was about to say your voice of chocolate velvet cake. I'm like, bitch!
Biting your style. No, he's been rolling. He might have something to say about the voice of chocolate velvet cake. He's been running as the Chocolate Boy Wonder for a while. For a little minute.
We're in a different realm here, man. Chocolate Boy Wonder, voice of chocolate velvet. If chocolate velvet cake could speak, this is what the fuck it would sound like. Right?
Yeah, so I think we need to go up a little bit. Welcome, welcome, party people.
Don't test my mic skills, man.
My mic
sounds
nice.
She's always coming at
nice.
Me with my mic skills. Yo, Mike's talking to the mic, yeah?
Yeah, because I want to make sure everyone's hearing you nice and lovely. Welcome to the show, FUBAR Radio listeners. It's that time, Mondays, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. It's all about Sarah Love and Mice Diggy taking care of you and bringing that hip-hop flavour to your ears. Monday of the month, we welcome a good friend of the family. It's Mr. Chester B, and he's live in the studio with us right now.
Hello.
Oh, it's lovely to have you here. And this week, as always, got a jam-packed show. We've got Chester in the house. We're going to be talking about Chester's film, which I'm dying to get into the nitty-gritty of all of that. And we have our weekly open mic, of course, so hold tight to find out who that is going to be featuring. And as always, Mice is investigating those burning issues, you know, life-changing issues.
Well, you came up with this question last week.
We're rolling with that.
People still saying the shit to me. I don't mind personally, because if I ain't seen you for a while, but we'll get into it later on when Mysack Hayes enters the building.
Mysack Hayes.
You're liking that. And of course, every show we have to ask you guys, like, what this week has just really just gotten you vexed or just made you question life and say, like, are you taking the piss for real? So make sure you hit us up in the studio. We love hearing from you. hiphop@fubarradio.com is the email. You can reach us at FUBAR Radio on Twitter as well. I'm at DJ Sarah Love on Twitter, and my Stiggy, MYSDIGGI. Get in touch. We want to hear from you. And we start the show off every week with a big up, and there's actually a handful of big ups, and I was like, you know, and normally I like to streamline it and keep it simple, but there's just been so many important things happen in this last week where, you know, these people have got to get a shout out. So
yeah,
it's
Beyonce
a different kind of crucial people who are really adding key political important statements, you know, to, you know, the troubled times in the world right now, like her. Yes,
Kanye. I was actually going to say, that's what's done me in this week is Beyonce's new tune.
Well, I just block this out, and that's another thing that we're going to get into. Are you taking the piss? So hold tight, because there's lots to vent on. But no, this week we lost a true legend. This is why I ain't got time for fools like Beyonce. Salute to Morris White, one of the greatest groups ever, one of the most underrated groups ever to do it, Earth, Wind and Fire. What a jam. So many jams. So, you know, we had to hear his voice today. Are we going karaoke with it? You know the voice of Chocolate Velvet wants to get karaoke with it. We're waiting, Mice.
No, I'm just
going to
dance, man.
Just dance it out.
I'm dancing this, the 1-2 step.
Yeah.
Hey, that Adam's trying to get me to do it.
Everybody,
1-2 step. Do you sit down if you're in the office right now? Come on.
This is a group that was on my bucket list that I've got to see before I die, man.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, I mean, Morris White left the group. He stopped performing with the group in the 90s. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And I think
but
that
was
ultimately...
he was still writing, though, right?
Yeah. He was still like the head honcho controlling the group, and like Guy is just such an amazing musical talent. He's a drummer. He played for Charles Stepney on the Minnie Riperton projects. He played for like many like jazz legends. Like Guy is a serious musical OG, you know, and so much of that has come into together.
Go on.
Everyone in the FUBAR office, I know they're singing next door too. Yes, Julia, you too, sing it up. I wish you could sing that. Okay, everybody, it's the chorus now.
Oh. This is emotional.
This is emotional.
This is what you call emotional music. When people go, oh, fam, it was emotional. This is emotional music.
So, Adele, can you please sit down now? Just sit down. Keep it zipped. Ooh. Keep it zipped. I'm sending this one out to Minnie and Summer locked in at home. They just got back from school, and I know they're big fans of Earth, Wind and Fire, and I know they love this jam, so this one's going out to you girls too. You see, this is all ages music.
Yeah.
This is universal music. Yeah, this is timeless music. This record come out in the 70s.
You don't have to be too old. You don't have to be too young. You can appreciate it.
Timeless music. Listen to this.
The guy with the high voice, right? The one with the dreads.
Yeah.
Why we could do that live? I was like, what?
And you know what also kills it with this music? What you're hearing right now is human beings playing instruments. This is human beings who have put time, years into mastering and studying an instrument. And that's why it can never be duplicated. Like music that has only ever existed in a computer is as noughts and ones and is quantized. It's not going to have that soul to it that you're going to get listening to him hitting those high notes or the basses, you know, or with a Nile Rodgers or whatever.
I agree,
you know, and that's why this music is, you know, it's timeless. It's going to live forever.
But Kanye is still a genius, though. I don't care what you say.
No, you know what? I have a lot of respect for Kanye because Kanye is someone who respects musicianship, too.
Yeah, but I don't know about the genius when you're, part, though.
I didn't use the word genius.
I'm not going to say nothing.
But I think when you're dealing with, like, acts,
who
is like...
What was you about to say? Arctic? Ancient
artists.
Oh,
I was about
okay.
to say artists, and then it's like, oh no, sorry. Let me reassess that because there's artists and there's acts. You know, when you're dealing with an act, where it's like to sell your record or to get attention, you've got to shake your booty, pop that booty. It's like you're just letting us all down, man. You're just letting us all down.
You know, on that note, another legend passed away not long ago. Blowfly.
Did he?
Yeah.
Don't lie.
So rest in peace, Blowfly.
Wow.
A little more underground and kind of raw.
Yeah, but he influenced
pimp, basically.
He influenced like a lot of rappers to do what
a lot of samples
from
were
Snoop,
taken from him.
Devin the Dude.
Yeah.
Like basically rappers that weren't afraid to say crazy shit and you know be rude and
Master
whatnot.
Master Ace sampled him on the Slaughter
wow,
album and
that's
stuff
sad,
like that.
Man.
Yeah, he passed away.
And he was still gigging as well.
Yeah, he was out there doing his thing still.
Damn, rest in peace, Blowfly.
So rest in
man.
Peace, Blowfly, man.
That's like he's like the Red Fox of music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like,
it was like comedy.
He used to spoof, he'd spoof a lot of like tracks.
So that's what he did. He took other people's songs and sang them with filth.
He had, you probably had the ABC. Hey!
Yeah, asshole. That's the one Master Ace sampled.
I'm sure if I hear it, I'll be like, oh!
You'd recognize loads of it.
Yeah, he was wicked. I got loads of his stuff, man. So
and this is also, I know this is like typically a hip hop show, and so people might be like, why the hell are you talking about these people?
After last week, I don't know if we can say that anymore.
No, but you see, this is the beauty of hip hop, and this is also why hip hop has stood the test of time, is because it's about being open minded and celebrating all kinds of genres, like whether that's classical or funk or jazz or what or pop stuff. You know what I mean?
Break digging, there's no limits. Break digging is a good part of that. But producers, they get to hear a lot of varied music. Except those producers who only use one kind of music and get boring.
Like. Exactly. This is the origins of hip hop. But if you've just tuned into the show, it's the Sarah Love of My Stiggy 2 hours, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. Mondays. We're joined by Chester P right now, right here on FUBAR Radio. And that was just like a big up. There's no way today we couldn't mention Maurice White of Earth, Wind and Fire.
Big up, big up.
You had to get a shout out. You know, this week as well, it was okay. Also, quickly, just a shout out to Julian Assange, yeah, because I don't know if you guys are up on Julian Assange.
Man like Julian, yeah.
Man like Julian Assange, yeah. He's got man lyrics too. Still, no. But yeah, he was the guy who started
no
WikiLeaks. Yeah,
he's a snitch, but he still gets. That's the one snitch that people don't. He'll get away with it, innit?
Yeah, people are happy world, that he snitched. Yeah, but yeah, no. Julian Assange. He's been living for the last 4 years inside the Ecuadorian embassy in central London, because if he steps foot on Pond Road, he's going to be arrested. But yeah, this last week, the UN actually ruled in his favour, saying that he's been held unnecessarily for arbitrary reasons in the embassy, and it's not right. But obviously, the UK government doesn't agree with him. So big up Assange anyway.
So wait, what are you saying? So I thought he was in there as protection, like he could. That's him being free, even though
he took asylum. He was basically the UK and the US government were after him because he leaked all of these coded, like secret conversations and stuff that the government were having, which basically impinge on our civil liberties and stuff. He leaked that information. Edward Snowden, the dude who he's in asylum in Russia at the moment, he's also involved in all of that. And so he was, and then suddenly this case came out where it's like, oh, he's being accused of rape by some women in Sweden randomly. Saying, and so the UK was saying he needs to be extradited to Sweden.
Yeah.
But then the Ecuadorian embassy, which obviously it was all a bit like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell is Ecuador got to do with this shit?
But then the Ecuadorian embassy stepped up and they were like, cool, you can come, because an embassy is basically...
Yeah. Don't worry, man.
We're diplomatic
community. Remember, what film was that again? I could not Die Hard, but yeah, the South African guy. When any embassy, that's basically that country's territory another country. Yeah, yeah. So Ecuador said you can come and chill in the embassy, but he's been living inside this building for 4 years now.
If
he
steps 4 years now.
4 years.
I heard they got showers and that in there, man.
Nah, of course. Yeah.
Like baby wipes. He's just getting them baby wipes shipped in by some Ecuadorian person. But yeah, so and
wash
then
wash your drawers in the sink.
That's the life he's been living, man. But imagine how 4 years not leaving this building. So if he literally, if he steps foot on the pavement outside the Ecuadorian embassy, he'll be arrested and he could be taken to Guantanamo, basically, you know, because he's like exposed all these government secrets and stuff for the UK
George
and the
Bush
USA.
Dancing,
and all of that stuff that makes Monica Lewinsky's story look tame.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Julian Assange.
Big up.
Really? I mean,
so
let's see
now,
how that.
What does it mean now then? Is he allowed to walk? He's allowed, like,
no,
you might see him in Oxford Circus and that.
Yeah, he might be out raving. We might get him on the show.
Town. Shotting CDs, yo. Right, Julian Assange. Yeah.
I got
little whistleblower. My new mixtape, Whistleblower. Volume one.
But in the last few weeks, the UN put a panel together, basically looking at his case, and they declared that he's been subject to arbitrary detention. So that just basically means he's being detained for no good reason. And you know, this is like he needs to be compensated because it's kind of taking liberties over his, you know, human rights and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's not been allowed to leave a building for 4 years.
Okay, so they're saying he should be allowed to walk the streets
with more money in his pocket for it.
Yeah, that he needs to be compensated. So that's what the UN says. So
but
the UN, in theory, is an independent body that has looked at this case, and you know, like the UK and the US government, they're biased in how they're going to view the situation.
Yeah, obviously, it affects what they've been up to.
Yeah, because they're like, oh shit, we could go to jail because of you.
The whole world is side-eyeing them right now.
Yeah,
it's
basically.
One big, gigantic
side-eye. Julian, so now the UN they put an independent panel together and declared like in his favour. So it's a pretty big step in the whole story of his case and everything.
So he's still got to wait and see then.
He's still in there.
You know, Bobby's at the gate thinking, should I or shouldn't I? Like,
shall I try it? Test the water?
He's seen everything on Netflix. He's
up to date.
He's killing it on
World of Warcraft.
I watched 5 seasons of Breaking Bad 10 times.
Yeah. All the new X-Files. He knows the words to it.
He knows the script.
Jeez.
So he's still chilling, but at least this is kind of pushing things in his favour.
I mean, it's a bit of an awkward one because of the fact that he's in the country that wants to put him in jail.
Yeah, that's why, you know, it's so, but imagine, like, though, if it, that was, imagine that was you, and you know, it's like, anywhere you look, no, no, you can't trust no one. Can you use a phone? Can you send an email?
Can you even walk out? Even if they said, yeah, yeah, you're free to go, I'd be like,
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
exactly.
We got you, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, sucker. Yeah. Yeah. And the then he did this appearance last week where he stepped onto the balcony of the Ecuadorian embassy.
Well,
and
did then, a little royal wave.
Yeah, he did the royal wave and they were all like, the, yeah, crowds cheering and stuff. But even that, I'd feel like, damn, is someone going to snipe me out?
Yeah, that's true.
Or people at the bottom going, go on, jump.
But the thing is, it's,
we'll catch you.
I mean, the thing is about sniping thing, you got people like Alex Jones, you know, that are like, they're going out there saying a whole bunch of stuff, but they know
Alex Jones,
if they did
that.
Get sniped, or like, he's like a, he's got his own show like every week, or he's, you gotta understand, Sarah Love, there's a whole lot of shit going down, they've got aliens out there.
Is he like the new David Icke?
Yeah, kind of, but he's not as, he's a bit more realistic than David Icke in the terms of, he's not talking about like lizards.
A bit
and,
more realistic.
Yeah. He's about, but he's still like a heavy conspiracy theorist. He's got his own, what's it called, InfoWars and whatnot. But people are always like, how come he hasn't been sniped? The thing is, if he got sniped, then it would be like, oh, he must have been telling the truth. Do you know what I mean? So same with Julian Assange.
Oh, he lives in a bunker, Nat is saying.
Yeah, he lives in a, see it there? He lives in a bunker.
Wow, he's doing a Julian Assange, but in a bunker.
It's not exactly like Assange in terms of like, he's more about, you
aliens.
Know, the whole Bilderberg stuff secret societies and, you know, like
Knights
the
Templar
American
Freemason business.
Kind of, but more like up to date, you know, he's more like talking about what's happening now. So, 9/11, he'll be like, yeah, that was, you know what I mean? That was
that
inside
was leading
job, Sarah.
Up to now, yeah.
Building number 7 should never have gone down like that, Chester P. What the fuck is going on in this? Nah, you don't swear though either.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, you know, someone like that. So I don't think, I feel like Julian probably wouldn't be that, he wouldn't be too worried about getting sniped. It's more so like, damn, going to jail for like 200 years or something.
Yeah, and I mean, there's so
beheaded.
Much like global media attention on Julian Assange. Like, they as much as they would love to take him down, like, you know, there's no way they could at
I mean,
this stage.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Also, I mean, he's such a key part in this whole WikiLeaks story and everything.
Well,
where
it's his.
He founded, yeah, like, he founded was it like 2006 or something like that? Maybe he set up WikiLeaks and stuff. And so, you know, it's important that he's still there, functioning as
so
a functioning
like
player
that.
In
yeah.
spreading the information to the people. But yeah, so Julian Assange, best of luck with that, mate. But another person that I think, you know, we needed to give a shout out this week is someone who I think, again, is one of like the greatest artists of all time. Like, you got to be up there in the top 10. Bob Marley,
oh,
it was
absolutely.
His birthday a couple days ago. He would have been 70. Yeah, 70. He would have been 70. No,
wow.
71, sorry. But incredible. When you think how tiny a place Jamaica is, oh, lyrics and his voice.
It's incomparable to anyone else what Bob Marley done, I think.
Ooh, come on, man. How big he
like,
was.
What he did to the
music.
World, to me, is like, you know, it's obviously it's a matter of opinion about how he died and stuff, but I feel like people like him, musicians like him, were definitely assassinated in one way or another because of the message they were spreading is deeper than conspiracy theory and it's about love. And the one thing none of this hatred can withstand is people who know how to spread love.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just think, so when you think what a tiny place Jamaica is and the impact that Bob Marley and reggae music has had on the world, like, you go any country in the world, they have reggae music there. It's been touched by reggae.
Yeah.
Kind
and,
of thing.
And people growing dreadlocks.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, and what an iconic figure. Like, Bob Marley is iconic. His face is iconic. People know his music without knowing his music. I play in jiggy jams, like, now, and I can play Bob Marley music and the kids are still shocking out.
Yeah.
I'm not so certain people are going to be saying that about some artists today. And I just have respect for artists who use their platform to spread word and for the greater good for the community. Like, he played a key part in, like, unifying Jamaica in Jamaica's
political
history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like,
man.
The moment
well,
of...
Well, that's why he got shot up and that, isn't it?
And so I think, you know, it's... I just have untold amount of respect for him. And you can just feel the power, the resonance in his music too. And then so this tune, Burning and Looting, speaking of Julian Assange's troubles and things, at the moment. I thought it was kind of apt. Yeah, so, you know, I think Bob Marley, we love you. Thank you so much. You definitely deserve a big up today.
Definitely.
Contribution. Yeah. I thought last week you said you were giving up the vibrato, falsetto vibrato business.
That's exactly why I'm giving up, see?
Yeah.
I'll leave it to Wyclef and them.
Those other impersonators. It's FUBAR Radio. It's myself, Sarah Love, and the one and only voice of Chocka Velvet Cake, Mr.
That's right, mother lovers. My Stiggy. And we are joined today by the amazing
Chester P.
Chess, man. People are excited. I just want to say, people are mad excited about Task Force at the Boom Bap Festival.
I noticed.
People be saying,
we better turn up. Boy, yeah. I tell you. We better turn up.
That's going to be crazy, man.
Yeah, but I know. It is going to be special because we even got slippers in on the act.
So, serious?
Yeah, it's it's like a reunion, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's beautiful, man.
The only thing that could make it better is if I could get Mongo and Skinny Man to come on the stage and rap together.
That will be a feat.
No,
that will be an achievement.
No one sees him anymore. I don't know where he is, man. I saw him about five, 6 years ago. Last time I saw him, yeah, he's a wicked rapper, man.
Yeah.
But yes, you are locked into FUBAR Radio.
Here
we're taking care of you until 6 p.m. And we end the show with, are you taking the piss? Because there's just so many things that we need to vent as British people and just things in general that need to be hailed out as far as I'm concerned. We bring you guests every week, including our open mic. Got some very talented MCs coming up later, so keep it locked. And every week, we do a special big up. Okay, we were chatting about Julian Assange for a little minute. We had to give a shout out to the man like Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire. We had to give a shout out to the legend that is Bob Marley.
Rest
it was his birthday too. So
big up.
But to all of them guys. But this week also is another important birthday that had to get a
big up.
Is it your birthday, Mice?
Yeah. No, but go on.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, what? Not today, but
no. When is your birthday?
Thursday.
Is it?
Yeah. But no. Go on.
I never knew.
I thought it was me, but I'm joking.
No, you need to tell me these things.
I never knew
you were an Aquarian.
Yeah. I'm an Aquarian. That's
When's your birthday, Chess?
July 21st.
Oh.
Cancer Leo. I'm just on the cusp. Yeah,
that's a good combo.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, you got two, is it? Cancer
yeah, I'm
Leo.
Just on the cusp, man. A few hours later,
crabs and lions just running around like a man.
Yeah, lion with crabs, basically. Just frustrated, scratching his mane.
You do not want to mess with the lion with crabs. You do not want to mess.
That's an angry lion right there.
Happy.
So,
well, my Stiggy, big up on your birthday.
Happy birthday, mate.
Definitely, you got to get a shout out. I'll see what I can work out later for you.
11.
I'm going to see what I can work out for you, okay? So just hold tight. And maybe I've got a surprise up my sleeve. But no, this week also was the late, great, again, a really, I think, key contributor to hip hop, a really influential, one of the most influential producers in the game.
Yeah.
This week's big up officially had to go to the one like JD, aka James Yancey, aka Jay Dilla. Big up. What an amazing dude. I mean, what a crazy catalogue of artists that guy has worked with as well. Like, if you don't know Dilla, like, I think you need to get to know, basically. He's behind tracks for people spreading from, like, Janet Jackson, Busta Rhymes. He was a key player in the Tribe Called Quest story. He's produced for Common, Erykah Badu. He was part of one of the original founding members of Slum Village, the group straight out of Detroit. That was it, next to T3 and Barton as well. Detroit, he's a Detroit native. Detroit is a really important city in the history of like popular music, like whether that's looking at rock music, jazz music, hip hop, soul music, like there's, it's just incredible the pool of talent that has come out of that place. And really, to me, Jay Dilla is a reflection of all of that. You know, he's the melting pot of all of that. Yeah. He also produced tracks for De La Soul, Far Side, The Roots. He was part of a group collaborating with producer Madlib that was called J Lib, and you know, it's
Kanye West,
all of these important people, but he's considered so important and so sentimental and influential to like hip-hop's heart that every year around his birthday, like, there's celebrations like right across the world. That's a true statement.
Like, there's nobody else I can think of in terms of the hip-hop world anyway, where, you know, around this time of year all around the world there's like the Dilla party, someone putting on rest in peace or Jay Dilla changed my life sort of party. Like all around the world doing their best to contribute to his estate, Mardukes and all that.
Yeah.
And that says a lot about somebody if they've managed to get people to, you know, get off their arse.
Galvanize people in that kind of way.
Amazing. And the whole night would just be all Dilla stuff. Dilla production or Dilla influenced music, stuff that he sampled, you know, and that's like prolific, man.
Yeah, because he was just so prolific. I mean, the catalogue is just like bananas. And then he was someone as well who was just so generous as an artist too. I mean, I know many producers, people like Kareem Riggins, who would say he's a drummer plays for Diana Krall, Paul McCartney, Elton John, but he's like another Stone's Throw producer, worked with many like dope hip hop artists, including and Erykah Badu, people like that as well. But yeah, he says Dilla was the kind of guy where he would just say, here, take this crate of records and just go make beats. You know, and it's like there's not many people who are like big hearted like that. Lots of people like to keep their cards close to their chest. Yeah, it's like, I'm looking out for myself.
But he was different, man. The guy, like, I was chatting to House Shoes about him, and he said that he didn't take, like, basically he wouldn't spend as more than 15 minutes making a beat. He's like, if it lasted, he'd be on average about 10 minutes, but if it lasted longer than 15 minutes, he'd be like, nah, let's move on to something else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But most of the time he'd come out with something crazy.
That's when you know, like, someone is just flooded with like creativity that needs to come out. So I've picked you a whole bunch of like Jay Dilla tracks today that I just think, you know, that they got to get a play. And speaking of like other political revolutionaries, like Bob Marley, and I hope maybe Julian Assange is locked into the show in the Ecuadorian embassy. This one we're sending out to you because I think
the views expressed on this recording are solely those of the artist, and by no means do we encourage or condone violence.
This reminds me of Kung Fu, boy.
Yeah. Sending this one out.
It's for you.
To you.
It's for you.
And to you. All FUBAR Radio listeners locked into the show, hit us up.
Bang.
Hip hop at FUBARradio.com. Listen to the lyrics and sing along.
On the count of three, say fuck the police. 1, 2, 3, and fuck the police. Yeah, fuck them. Applaud any nigga.
Damn right.
Cause we could lose a few of them. We got enough of them. My niggas on the corner, they be dodging and ducking them. Chickens getting pulled over, end up crushing them. For real. And see, now we got these fake cops. I thought he had a gun. I made a mistake, cops. I hate cops. Turn on the TV. Is this another cop busted for illegal business? They got a control. They got it in their minds. They pulling you over. They hopping inside. Just know you got drugs and know you got guns. And they know when they mad, when they can't find none. Stupid. Don't you know they invented the stash box? The heapy and they need a key to get in it. Any offended people suck my balls. All y'all off the wall, get stupid, dawg. Don't hold back, don't let go, go. Don't say damn, just say whoa. Get it up. Oh no, oh no, baby. A little more. Oh,
say fuck the police. 1, 2, 3, and fuck the police. Yeah, don't they know it's dangerous in these streets? Don't they know it's gangs of us? We roll deep. We OGs, fill up the whole deep. Ill with the flows, the ill with the beats, ill in the rover. It's over for hold these. The reason we hold things is no peace in the streets with the police in the streets. Yo, it's cops that old niggas dope for O's and keys. It's more than a beef with the 5-0 in the streets with the 5-0. It's a game of survival. And who protects me from you when I got peeps who rock text and weed from you? And all the niggas see in the news, it's cop corruption. Niggas getting popped for nothing, and niggas getting stopped. The cops pull out blocks and bust them. Y'all need to get shot for nothing, cause we don't hold back, we let go. We don't say damn, we just say whoa.
The sounds of Jay Dilla, F the Police. That's a pretty timeless track as well. Mm. I mean, it's incredible that we still need to say these things, really.
Yeah, louder you than know. Ever right now.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Police.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Louder than ever right now.
They're getting excited. The worst thing about what's happening with the police now is people with attitude. Do you know what I mean? People that are kind of grown up in the streets all of a sudden becoming policemen in America, especially. So yeah, like ex-convicts, road policemen. Yeah. So they're all tatted up.
Well, it's a gang member, isn't it? So you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm going to either be in a gang from the street, or I'm going to be in the biggest gang.
Yeah, the most powerful.
The one
gang
where
in the world.
Nothing can really touch me.
Yeah. Like my dad always said to me, you know, a policeman is just a thug with a license.
Of course, man.
Yeah, I'm not all of them, but
it's
yeah,
true. Not all know. Of them. You know, I've got to say, there must have been one or two out of the 2 million that's pulled me over illegally and stopped and searched me. Who was actually all right.
Well,
they
like,
gave me my weed back and all them ones. You know, I'm not going to let no one see this. I'll throw it in the bush. Yeah, you know? You're like, oh, right. You're
we'll
nice.
Have a joint later together. Yeah.
There's been one or two out of all of them. But
yeah, of course. It's not, we're not making generalisations. It's like you can't ever make generalisations, really.
Nah.
But, you know, I just think there's so much that we've got to play for and fight for right now that there's just more to say than like, hello, you broke my heart and look at my ass shaking. Yeah. And so I just think, you know, props to people like Jay Dilla. Of course, if you're just only getting introduced to him, like that's the first time you've ever heard a Jay Dilla song, you know, he's had spans such like a spectrum of sounds. Yeah. And you know, so we've got good more music coming for you as well.
Yeah.
But this is another important part of the show where we have to really take things to another tone. Mice.
Gracias. Gracias, mate. You know what I mean? I've been practicing on the old Espanol.
Like we say, baby. There's burning issues out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to welcome you down to the FUBAR Radio Cafe, where we give you the cookies that you need to stuff in that cake hole.
Mm.
You're damn right. Filled with all fluffy delights.
Oh, it's getting better.
I go by the name of Mysack Hayes. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Mysack Hayes. Yeah. And I have a special investigation to do this week. Handed over by my, what do you call them? The sidekick, innit?
Like dictator?
Batman has a. Nah. Dictator. Yeah, yeah.
Psychopath?
Yeah.
Crazy Biatch?
I know the word you're looking for.
Nightmare?
Something like that, innit?
I know the word. Psychic.
Like Miss Marple has a.
Yeah.
Poirot has a.
Sherlock Holmes and Watson. Yeah. Batman and Robin.
Yeah,
Superman
exactly.
And
AK-47?
Yeah.
See?
No.
I don't know, but. See, it was a serious question that even I was like, yeah, that's a good point. When do we stop doing this? We're now in the second week of February. I know.
And still, it's going on.
As an Aquarius,
on.
This is something I should always know.
Yeah.
But still, like, yesterday, someone hit me up. Yo, Mites, I ain't spoke to you in a bit, but blah, 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 blah. BTW, HNY. I was like, HNY, what the fuck does that mean? Hey, nigga, you... Oh, shit, Happy New Year. And I was like, rah, happy... shit, still... Happy New Year.
Like a throwback.
Yeah, I was like, alright. But at the bottom line is I haven't spoke to them in a while. So fair enough. This is, we're still in the new year.
Okay.
People forget about these things. I know we're in the internet age where this shit don't matter as much anymore because the next thing on the timeline is all that people are watching. You know what I mean? I forgot about that tune that so-and-so posted yesterday because it's today now. But then I was wondering, I was like, Rav, when do we stop doing this then? When is the point where we say, okay, I can't say Happy New Year anymore.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's I'm still happy, but the year ain't new
and
anymore.
And we still wish you all the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We chilled
up your future.
Yeah, so I want to find out for all the listeners out there, when do we stop saying Happy New Year? Or when should you stop saying Happy New Year?
It's almost like it's getting to this point where we need a global official date marked. Kind of like how globally everyone was like, 25th of December, that's Christmas.
And then there's a specific date you're meant to pull down your Christmas tree and decoration.
Or it's bad luck. Maybe we should come up with that. Maybe we need a point where it's like, all right, it's bad luck.
You guys should innovate that.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And make it a date on the calendar.
Right, oi, fam, you didn't know, yeah? It's still happy birthday after February 14th, boy. It's Happy New Year. Like,
you don't know what's going to happen to you.
Yeah. Hey, man might just come pick your nose fucking in the ass and say goodbye.
That is actually the most effective way to like get people on board with these sorts of things, isn't it? Just like scare the F out of them.
Even that will turn a little girl to hell.
Yeah.
They'll burden for eternity.
For eternity
that's,
in
that's
hell.
Worked for the last 2,000 years, I think.
Definitely.
So.
I know. What kind of guy is God, man, where he'd want anyone to have
burn
that?
Burn in hell with all the rest of the fallen angels.
He's a vengeful God.
He's a trickster as well. Yeah. He's a prankster. Yeah, but he must be lonely up there because he's the only dude in heaven. No one's in heaven.
He?
Come on.
Nah,
what?
Man, I'm
Saint
sure
Peter's
being.
On the gate. He's Dylan's the bouncer. Saint
yeah,
Peter's
ain't
the
even
bouncer.
In there. He ain't even in there.
He works for NASA, nice and safe attitude, where he's like, you're not getting in, your name's not down.
Your name's not down, mate.
Wow,
nice Templar in there, like, bruv, you got to get some chicks in or satin, boy, because I don't know what to do here.
Yeah, so anyway, that's for another show. Oh, gosh, we're nearly taking it back to the top. So, yes, your question again, Mice, for the people.
For the people out, hit us up, hiphop@foodbarradio.com, or you can tweet us at foodbarradio. When should you stop saying Happy New Year? Please let us know, because this is an important... Yeah, that's what you put there. When should you stop saying Happy New Year?
Yeah, and you know, really, we officially need to find a way, man. We need to just conclude. By 6 p.m.
You stop saying Happy New Year.
Yeah, we're going to get to the bottom of this.
I think by Valentine's Day. We might as well say by Valentine's Day.
No, it needs to be sooner than that, because I'm a miserable
messing
git.
Messing me up my whole head. Teasing me just like Tika did Martin. Now look at what you're starting. Schoolboy crushing it. Ain't on the hush. The whole world see it, but you can't. My peoples, they complain, sit and rave and rant.
Come on.
Your name is out my mouth like an ancient chant. Got me like a dog as a pause and pant.
Speaking of which, got a leash and a wish just to rock you, miss. Make a militant move, beat my strategy.
What?
End of the day, you're not mad at me. Not dealing with nobody, now that's what you told me.
What?
I said, hey, yo, it's cool, we can just be friendly. Cause yo, picture me messing it up. Her mind not corrupt with the LC cups.
Huh?
Shit. I'm on my J.O.
Come on.
Bullshitting, hoping that the day goes slow.
Wow.
Got me like a friend, what confuses me though? It's kisses when we breathe, tell me what's the deal, yo? Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way. Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, moved in, you confused things.
Come on.
Should I just sit out or come harder? Help me find my way.
Now why you wanna go and do that, love, huh? Making things for me towards you harder. Killing me just when I think we there. You douse the whole vibe and the folks in the air. Telling me about next man. But next man ain't the nigga with the plans. Who got your heart in mind? It's about time that you just unwind.
Come on. And let it just happen, make it front free. Just sweat me like money panty. Digging you, getting inside of your steel.
What?
It's the quest cat keeping you company.
Hi.
Forever or however you want it.
Word, word. Now wait a minute, my, before you dead it to the curb.
Yeah.
Try to make impressions, which is good, not the herd. But it ain't me, and I ain't blurred. I'ma still just chill with you. Maybe things could change if you change your view.
Come on.
If not, then I guess it is cool. Yeah. Just keep to yourself and abide by the rules, right?
Check it out now.
What you say? What? Now you caught my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move in, you confused things. Should I just sit out or come harder? Tell me find my way. Now sing it.
Now you cut my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move it, you confusing. Should I just sit out or come harder? Tell me find my way.
Talk it out, talk it.
Now you cut my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move it, you confusing. Should I just sit out or come harder? Tell me find my way.
Talk it out right now.
Now you cut my heart for the evening. Kiss my cheek, move it, you confusing. Should I just sit out or come harder? Tell me find my way.
Why you want to go and do that, huh?
Oh, there we go. My microphone is working.
I'm telling you, man.
My mic sound nice.
So we're talking about steroids now.
So during that brief 3 minute interlude where we were playing the track, that was Tribe Called Quest Find a Way with Jay Dilla on the production for that one too. So a little bit of a different flavour to F the Police. But yes, yeah, so got enough Dilla tunes for you coming today. Hip-hop
I'm
at foodbarradio.com.
I'll tell you that right now.
It's the place to get in touch. Tell us how things are on your side of the world. Mice has been investigating a key question today.
Yeah, the key question is, when do we stop saying Happy New Year? The reason I asked this is because the other day, well, yesterday actually, my friend hit me up. Blah, 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 chatting this, that, blah. Yeah, we got to do that, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, by the way, Happy New Year. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're still here, aren't we? You know, and I wasn't too mad at it because of the fact that I hadn't spoke to him for probably about 2 months or something. So I ain't spoke to him since beginning of December, end of November.
So you allow him.
So it's like, yeah, it's kind of a thought. It's like saying hello. Hello has come from, yeah, it's true.
It's the evolution of the English language.
You don't really
language.
Have to say hello if you think about it, but we do that
hello?
Because it's like something nice to, you know. It's kind of like, apparently it's evolved
it's
from don't punch
saying...
me in the face. That's where it's evolved from. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck you, you ugly bastard.
So either you say F you or you say hi.
Yeah. So, you know, so when do you think you should stop saying it?
Well, Nat in the studio, she seemed a bit she had the militant look in her eye, man, where I was just like, oh my God, let's not mess with Nat.
You know, well, now
she was
never to say it past February the 1st.
I'm scared
that's
now.
It's just January the 1st and that's it, it's over. I'm with that, man. It's over. I'm with that. Yeah.
It's a new
it's
year.
Like we can't do that last night. All right. So 1st of Jan, it's done. No,
it's over.
Nat was saying 1st of February. Like you just cannot
you
be
say
saying Happy New Year
yes,
in February.
Saying,
but then I was thinking the only way we can really implement this is there's got to be consequences, isn't it?
Yeah, you could get a backslap.
You won't live to see the next New Year, basically.
Yeah.
It'll be your last Happy New
this,
Year.
Yeah, when you say, this is my year, fam, like, literally.
Literally.
This is it.
If you say Happy New Year after the 1st of February, this is your year.
Period. So you better have a happy one.
You better have a happy one.
That's hilarious, man.
But no, we've had a couple people have hit us up in the studio. Keep your messages coming through to hiphop@foodbarradio.com. I want to get to the bottom of this by 6 p.m. so we can just definitively know from 2016 here on, we know how we're dealing with this.
All right. So Oliver said, after the first time you see someone in the first month of the year, I just see the mate of mine who I'm not seeing since early December, and he went Happy New Year. So annoying.
Ooh.
I wonder if Oliver actually talks like that. That's what I'm interested in.
I was feeling that vibe from the way he wrote there. But yeah, shit, you don't want to mess with Oliver either with Happy
Here's
New
what
Year's.
Kerry said, I say after you take the tree down is when you stop saying Happy New Year, not a week before Valentine's Day. I did the day because there's an exclamation mark and Valentine's Day had a capital letter capital V
and you see it's
Kerry,
I think there's lots
I just want to remind her though that the tree is for Christmas not for New Year's. Case closed, mother lover.
But she's trying to link them in. That's her reasoning. That's her science. That
so
was her 3 second
once
science.
The tree comes down, that's it, fam. Yeah. But the tree, when does the tree come down? It's got to come down
12 days of Christmas.
12 days.
After 12 days,
I think so.
Wow,
and
so
after
you
that,
really
you rot in hell for an eternity, and you get like punished, and
that's
burnt
when you.
And stuff.
If you live on
the
a cancer estate, in that time, you come
eternity.
Out of your house
eternity.
And you just see mountains of Christmas trees in the streets, and you just think, "What the hell?"
Burning.
You know, yeah.
No, I ain't trying to go help. I ain't trying to go help.
If you run out of gas, you know what you can do. You know what I mean?
But even that vexes me about Christmas. It's like, would God really want people to be taking that kind of ecological liberty on the earth by making everyone buy all these Christmas trees?
Well, I mean, let's face it.
plastic like, or real, and then ditch
into,
them.
You know, would God even believe in Christmas? Because he knows when Jesus was born, if it's his son, and it wasn't on the 25th of December.
Exactly.
So, see? Really and truly, I think God's up there looking down, thinking, what the
he's like, boy, you lot better carry on with this Happy New Year shit. Ain't even fucking New Year's.
Exactly.
Yet. You lot's 1st of January is way off. Yeah. Like, you're way off.
It's when July. The date trees are ripened or something. You know what I mean? Like, think about it.
It's like,
when the mushrooms
this.
Are fully sprouted.
Yeah, exactly.
Like 12 billion years ago, and you guys just wait off. I'm getting a bit anxious. We're going to have an army of, like,
God squad
outside the studio for us afterwards.
Hey, I'll tell them, prove it. That's what I'd be like.
No, you know the
then.
Thing that I have as well. Like, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a deeply spiritual person, and I consider myself agnostic because I think, you know, I know I can't breathe underwater.
These are the big words. Break that down for the.
Okay, it means like I'm undecided. Like I can't say definitively like any. Dumb it down. Dumb it down. No, but I mean. Also, me being of African descent, my mother is South African. I was in South Africa last year, you know, and it's like across Africa, you have this massive spread of like the big evangelical churches and stuff. And it's all pretty scary stuff.
Yeah.
And then even when you see in an American election how there's not a single president in America who can be elected without saying, God bless America, God this and all of that stuff, and it's quite strange.
Well, it's Catholicism really is it, ever since the Crusades, 1500s
and
Crusades, witch burning, pagan haters, even the fact that kids go around saying pagan to each other now.
Man.
About, I just think, that's a compliment to me.
Bruv,
you know what I mean?
That's just
I
the
am
funniest
a pagan.
Shit. The funniest thing is, but they don't realise that they're
what
celebrating pagan rituals anyway.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Oh, people go, that's your pagan.
No,
fam.
Simon's
like,
a joker. Right. He's a pagan.
I'll see you at church then,
But that just ultimately shows you how people just repeat whatever the hell they hear without even thinking about what they're saying.
Yeah,
it's just monkey see,
monkey
do.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like I say, just seeing the spread of like the evangelical movement in Africa, it's really scary to me because ultimately all the evidence that science and that we have found as mankind is that the cradle of life is Africa. All migration of human beings stemmed out of East Africa and spread across the world, and that's been happening for the best part of the last 2 million years or so. And so it's like, when I think of, you know, the most hardcore Christians that you find, like, in America and, in Africa, they're black. But when I think to myself, okay, so how were black people worshipping before slavery?
Of course.
Because they weren't chatting about the things that are in the Bible. We had our own way of doing stuff, you know.
Everyone was worshipping who they felt they needed to worship. Different tribes.
Haiti's an interesting country for that because they took on the Catholicism but then added it to their own kind of religion and made some just a different religion.
I think I honestly think it's like what you're saying. So it's introduced to them, and then they were already praying to, you know, like there's I've forgotten what his name, like Ogun. There's like a from Nigeria. There's like a kind of he's like a soldier of God type thing. He's like a god of iron and you know what I mean, but like a warrior, proper built. You know,
From back in the day, you're saying not some new guy.
No.
He's on road now.
I was like getting scared.
But then
like some guy just came out.
They've kind of linked him with the, you know, the God of today, like Jesus, or you know what Catholicism's version of God. Do you know what I mean? And then the same thing, if you go to Australia, like Aboriginals, they pray to a bunch of different gods, or indigenous people in South America, they pray to a bunch of different gods. It isn't like, but what happened was these lot were like, yo, we need to get everyone to pray to this Santa Claus looking mother.
But it's because also it's like, to me, religion is politics before we had politics. Like you can kill people, but it's very difficult to kill ideas. And the best way you can colonize people is through ideas. You know what I mean? And so it's like, to strip you, when we look at slavery or the history of colonialism, to strip you of your name, your language, your heritage, your whole history and everything, and just be like, it's all about this now. It's very hard to retrace those things through a couple generations. And then when you think of, like, I mean, in Uganda you have this thing called the Laws Resistance Army, where it's like, I know people who they fled Uganda as refugees because the Laws Resistance Army like going around making people murder their children, murder their parents and stuff like this, and then recruiting them into the army. But this is all under the banner of Christianity and things. I mean, there's just this, and on top of that, there's so how many religions have existed in the history of man? Thousands. They can't all be right.
No.
Yeah, that's what happened to me.
It could be, you know, it just like truly, it's like they've given it to people in the language that they're going to understand it most. But the problem with Catholicism and Christianity is that what they've done is they've put the fear of God in people, and they've gone to all these other countries and they've wanted to dominate that country through its religion and its religious beliefs, and they've knocked down all of their places of worship and built churches on it and stuff, and these people have amalgamated what they originally believed into their current beliefs, you know what I mean? And it really and truly, that is the first part of brainwashing a culture, you know what I mean?
And ultimately, none of these have definitively told us when we're meant to stop saying Happy New Year, have they?
No.
So, you know, bringing it back to what originally sparked the conversation. Yeah, this is what we need, these spiritual leaders to provide us with, the key answers.
Enlightenment.
The enlightenment on when we're meant to stop saying Happy New Year, which is what my Joe has been investigating this week. What are people saying, Mize?
I'm telling you, man, we're getting some good answers here. So, in terms of Happy New Year, Paul in Essex, I'm going to do my best Essex accent, right? I've come over here to tell you that I've come over here, right, to say what Paul said.
Okay.
That's what they do, innit, on Essex. I've come over here and told you that I've come over here, right? And then you've gone and said to me that you've come over here. Anyway. Paul in Essex says, it's not appropriate to say it past January 1st. It only makes things go downhill from there if you say it. It's a jinx.
I agree.
I don't know about the jinx part, though.
The jinx bit, not necessarily, but I agree.
Come on, man.
After January 1st, I don't want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it on January the 1st.
When it's 12:01.
I don't even want to hear the bells no more. I'm in my yard thinking all those fools are out there paying twice as much to get in a club, three times as much to get a cab home, four times as much for a triple watered down drink. Not for me.
Happy New Year, chest to chest.
That's it. So it's your year, mate.
And again, we have to define the calendar, because Chinese New Year was only the other day. Yeah. So to them, they can say it today.
Year of the monkey.
They can say it today because it was only a couple days ago to Chinese people. So we should bear that in mind. You know?
Ni hao, all you Chinese mother lovers out there, like Chu. Mm-hmm. And that's the only Chinese friend I have. Anyway, so Happy New Year. This is from Lisa. Lisa says, I say Happy New Year until at least May or June. I also keep my tree up until then as well. I like shiny, flashy things. You'll love my forehead, Lisa.
No, that's nice,
I like
Lisa.
That.
That's good.
I do like, aww. See, that's what I like, that kind of attitude.
That's good, that's
imagine
optimism.
Imagine if you don't see people until June or May, you might as well say happy. Oi, bruv, guess what? Happy New Year! Merry New Year!
You're keeping people on their toes.
Yeah, you might as well, man.
No, that's,
you
know, nice, Lisa. That is a nice message.
So this one's from Todd. I never say Happy New Year. You can't assume it will be, so just nod and say New Year.
I love that optimism.
That's a good one, Todd, man.
Todd, yeah, I'm loving the positive, optimistic vibes he's spreading.
You can't assume it will be.
It's too early to say. I'll say it at the end of the year.
How do I know? Like, someone says Happy New Year. Are you sure,
mate? Are you sure?
Yeah. But I think the whole point is saying hope you have a happy, it's like an abbreviation of
it's
hope
like,
you
have a happy good day, year. But have a good year.
Yeah, good day. Yeah, people say good day.
Good day. Good day, mate.
I'll tell you what.
It's getting more and more complicated.
It is.
I thought we were going to work it out.
It's Pandora's box.
Yeah.
It is. But I think Lisa's got a good point.
I like Lisa's answer.
Keeping the Christmas tree up.
Look
as
how
well.
Chester just jumped from. No, I wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't do it personally.
But you can appreciate
the
love.
I like the answer. It's nice.
Yeah, you can appreciate
the
love.
The world would be nicer if everyone was that calm and passive.
Yeah, no Lisa's out there. We need more Lisa's with their Christmas trees. Up saying Happy New Year in the sun
with shiny things, you know?
Yeah, wait, they better not be, because I was born with this shit right here. You know what I mean?
There's no fighting it,
you
just gotta go with it.
I bet magpies come and try and take it away.
On the daily, he's getting attacked by magpies.
Hey, fam, let me in. I need one of them.
Trying to take it to their nest.
Magpies and Essex girls. We love shiny things. But you're a hit. You're onto a good one. You see, this is how you just spin it round to a positive, Mice.
I do believe that this is what we need to do with this world, is make things a lot more positive. And if my investigations can help raise that positive awareness, I'm all for it.
Opening us up to communication.
Exactly.
Yes.
Happy New Year, everybody. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Now, imagine people just...
Happy New Year, yeah. Okay? Just remember that. I want you to have a happy one.
Nap okay. just fired you. She's like, you're fired for saying Happy New Year in February. But no, it's FUBAR Radio. In case you just turned on, people are going to be, why are you saying Happy New Year? It's like...
Because the world needs to be a better place.
Yeah.
That's the t-shirt getting, I'm going to get done.
The science.
Happy New Year on the front, and the people are like, what the fuck is with that guy? And then on the back, because the world needs a better place.
Aww. That was profound.
That was thanks, profound. Man.
Put my toes in there.
It got something to do with being the man and handling your bitch. What love got to do with it? SSV is all bullshit. You know what love is. Say it with me one time.
You know what love is.
Be on some love shit.
You know what love is.
Be on some love shit.
You know what love
and
is.
To the bitches that love dick and masturbate. No need for that. And get down and rap and say word. What is the look of? It got something to do with being the man and handling your biz. What love got to do with it? Ask SV, it's all bullshit. You know what love is. Say you with me one time.
You know what love is. You know what love is. You know what love is.
The motorbike have been slept on for a long time. It's time for me to put my Mac down. But in the meantime, let me tell you why the bitch name. The woman looks so good, she make you masturbate. Come into my life, let me show you how I operate. My name is Roscoe, but you can call me a gigolo. My teacher name is, you know how we roll. I had a lot of shit to do back in the Astro.
By 10, nigga, come back to Earth.
What can I do for you back in this bitch? Coming through with my new suit. Nigga looking fly, cause you know we got a lot of loot. When I'm on the mic, a nigga throw down his blunt just to hear what we say up in this bitch.
You know what love is. Say it with me now.
You know what love is.
What is the look of? It got something to do with being the man and handling your biz. What love got to do with it? Ask SV, it's all bullshit. You know what love is.
T3 is on the love tip.
You know what love is.
The S is on slug tip.
You know what love is.
T3 is on slug tip.
You know what love is.
She said I wanna get down with the S. Certainly, let me teach you slenderness. Bustin' the Virgo, your words scandalous. Your fragrance got me losing consciousness. Your stance got me unbuckling my fucking pants. Spending clouds of finance on a $2 romance. Take a dick to the tip. Get a lick, tell a bitch. That's the shit, so eat a dick. You need to just give me your clit. That's how I get nasty like an old porno flick. Oral sex got me caught up in the coward bliss. So team drink, I should drop this dick between the tits. Yes.
You know what love is. Say it with me now.
You know what love is. You know what love is.
What is the look of? It got something to do with being the man and handling your biz. What love got to do with it? SSV, it's all bullshit.
You know what love is.
You know what love is.
You know what love is.
What a beautiful song.
You know what love is.
Another classic courtesy of Slum Village. That's another J Dilla production. We're celebrating J Dilla. This week is known by many as J Dilla Week, even.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I picked you like a handful of tracks that I just thought we've got to give a spin.
He might be the most influential producer that ever, in terms of hip hop, because I feel like even people that came after, you know, that he came after. And he ended up influencing from Premier to Dre, you know, Timbaland, people like that, even Pete Rock.
And
you know
beyond,
I mean?
Hip hop too, you know, even reaching beyond hip hop as well. So, you know, Dilla, we adore you. Thank you so much for everything you've done to make our lives happier places. Because the power of music, like, you know, how it can just switch your mood is just like remarkable. Just hearing that jam right there is like upliftment. That's a spiritual thing. We've been asking a key question today.
It's like
and we're
saying
gonna
Happy
get
New Year. No, it isn't. Check that. No,
yeah, it's like. But yeah, so we're gonna get to the bottom of this question, which Mice has been asking, which is when do we officially stop saying Happy New Year? So by 6 p.m. in an hour's time, This is gonna be a sealed deal. But right now, we're joined in the studio by a very special guest,
the one and only.
Many people will call legendary, the Chess Monster.
Oh, I thought you meant
Kevlar.
Whoever was coming, I was sitting there thinking, I wonder who it is. Like, getting excited.
It's me.
I'm not that special to myself, though.
To a bunch of people out there that you've probably not even met. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Let alone, I'm not even talking about the music world, because that's obvious. In the music world, I think the influence speaks for itself, you know. But like, as we can see here, you've got a movie. Is it a movie, a short film, or how long is it?
It's a documentary. It's like hour and something.
I saw the film. The film was called Hip Hop, Homelessness and the Housing Crisis. Mm. And I saw the film and I was just like so appreciative and moved by like how, because I understand how difficult it is to make a film anyway, from just organizing people to storyboarding something to editing it, everything. You did such, it's a beautiful thing to watch. It's engaging.
It is. All the credit for that side of things goes to Greg Hall, who directed it and storyboarded it and the people who edited it and filmed it, obviously. I mean, my part in it was kind of just what you see, just talking to people and going out in the street. But Greg Hall and the Tripwire production team and the guy who edited it, they had a lot, you know. Without Greg, it wouldn't have been as good as it is, that's for sure.
But for people who have no idea about this, or, you know, this is the first time they're ever hearing about the film, what is the film about and why on earth did you decide to do this?
The film is basically about about many things. It's kind of layered, but it's really, the root of it is gentrification of London, the housing crisis that's arisen from the gentrification of London and England, you know, but because I'm in London, that's what I was dealing with. And it's about homelessness and the effect gentrification's having on the amount of homeless people and mental health issues within homelessness and a few of the other underlined issues in homelessness. It's just something close to my heart, you know what I mean? Like, poverty teaches us empathy, firstly, you know, like, personally, the life I've lived has taught me empathy and it's taught me to understand how to empathize with other people's plight. And once I was in a position to do the little amount I can do, I chose to do it rather than talk about it, because me among many rappers talk about revolutions and talk about change and rah, but talking about it's not doing anything anymore, you know.
I mean, in the film you ran through quite a few like staggering statistics and things with regards to like how many empty property spaces and properties there are in London alone.
Yeah.
And then like numbers of like homelessness and things like that. But I think for many people who are just so consumed by the stress of their life and getting to work and paying their bills and all that, they're oblivious to all of these sorts of facts. So like, break it down for people, like, what is what are we looking at when we're talking about homelessness, the crisis of homelessness in the UK?
I mean, it's rising every single day, you know. There's endless amounts of people out there. For the couple of years I've been going in the street and giving people stuff and just conversation and helping them if they need any help that I can help with. I've seen a huge increase, roughly, like, just off the top of my head, roughly, you know, I don't want to be quoted on it too much, but there's at least 70,000 empty properties.
Wow.
Which are bought in London, which are bought up by investors and people, you know, who might be waiting for planning permission and blah blah blah. And once upon a time these buildings would be squatted, you know, but the squat laws have been heightened and so on, and a lot of homeless people don't want to do anything that's illegal. You know, so I have that conversation with people and they say, oh, I don't want to break the law, I don't want to be a criminal, and you think, well, you know. But again, it's like homelessness itself, there's many underlying factors, and some people don't want to be homed because the pressure of owning a home at this current time, especially, is too much for people's minds.
Because another thing that I've definitely thought a lot about home. Like, I mean, have you been to America before?
Mm-mm.
I mean, going to America and seeing how homelessness works over there, it's appalling, you know. And it's like, this is the richest nation in the world, and the majority of people who are homeless in America are veterans.
Yeah,
and then
same
you
here.
Become you're a veteran, you leave the war, you've probably got post-traumatic stress disorder.
Exactly,
it's hard to rehabilitate. I was listening to a really interesting interview with this woman who had served time in a federal prison, and she said being released from prison feels like being shot out of a cannon naked into a brick wall. You know, and then you're just expected to, or imagine if you kept a dog in a cage and poked it with like hot pokers and then said, right, not for a
now
year,
go
now
and
go and play
good.
With the kids.
Yeah.
know, and this is what it's like, expecting people to go from coming from a war zone into just living a normal life and assimilating with how society functions. And so I think you know, somewhere like the States, you end up, you come out, you've got post-traumatic stress disorder maybe, then you can't hold down a job, you can't function just psychologically. And so then it's not a surprise that in those circumstances you might turn to drugs. And so then looking at the amount, how, you know, there's a correlation between like drug abuse
of course,
and
I mean, these things tie
well.
up. Yeah, I mean, for a homeless person, in my mind, I kind of, it just seems like an obvious two and two makes four. Not for everyone, and not to generalize, you know what I mean, but if you're living in the street permanently, you're going to need something, A, to keep you warm when it's cold, which will be alcohol or drugs, and B, you're going to need something to numb that reality to make it through to the next day.
Emotionally.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, people, that a lot of them will be getting medication off the doctors and stuff, and probably be getting methadone programs and that, but still be taking drugs with that. And it's rough, you know, I mean... I'm not going to judge people for that, because people who are not homeless take drugs, you know what I mean? Like, to me...
Well, to get when through their 9 to 5.
Exactly. Like, the high-flying people in the city, like, you know, earning millions and millions of pounds in bonuses, they buy endless amounts of drugs, and, you know, it's, no one's condescending on them, that's cool. But for me, it's like a homeless person, I'm not trying to look at them and judge them. I personally don't give homeless people money.
But
that's because you know there's quite a possibility that they're not going to spend it on the things you want them to spend it on.
If I give them money, I give them it, and they can spend it on whatever they want. That's why I'd give them the money. But generally, I'd rather say, well, if you're hungry, I'll buy you something
food,
to eat.
Exactly.
If you need shoes, I'll buy you some shoes. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of thing I do, is like, I build up a relationship with some of them. And if they say to me, well, I ain't got no shoes, I'll say, well, you know what? Link me tomorrow outside Sports Direct or whatever. Oh, they got a plug there. But outside the shop, and we'll go in there and we'll buy you some boots or whatever they need. And that's basically what I was leading up to doing, you know what I mean? And that's how I'm kind of operating. So I'll take out food, I'll take out socks, hot drinks. And on Christmas Eve, I took out miniature bottles of Jack Daniels, tobacco, all sorts. And some people see that as controversial, but like, well, it's Christmas, I'll give man a drink, you know what I mean? Like, that's fine.
In the film also, you kind of mention how there's, you know, there's lots of different charities, but, you know, it's always hard to know whether necessarily the money reaches the people that they're, you know, they're pulling on your heartstrings to give money, kind of thing,
it's
but
business.
You can never be sure, like, that it's the business. Money is actually reaching there. But when I talk to, I often talk with people who sell the big issue, kind of thing, because I want to understand how the whole process works and stuff like that.
Where's my money going, first of all?
Yeah,
where,
I'm
you
like,
said how much?
Yeah, give me your hustle if you're going to sell me this edition. No, but understanding, like, for them, really, do they feel like a benefit, like, you know, that it's worthwhile, and why is not all homeless people is something that all homeless people necessarily buy into? But like how you're saying, also there's people abusing substances in the city, you know, I just think it's those people know how to work the system, and they're equipped, whether that's psychologically or, you know, physically
of
equipped
course.
To know how to do that. And maybe that's also the same case for people selling big issue compared to people who are just emotionally
some of them
broken
have
down
nothing to do with it. Some of them won't have nothing to do with organizations like the big issue.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to stand and hold judgment, but I've heard stories about their ethics that don't really make me feel comfortable about them as an organisation. And I don't know what happens to the money. I know that they make a lot of money. I know that.
Okay.
I can't say they don't use that money for good things. I have no idea, but I know they make a lot of money.
Well, it
and
takes
I
a lot of money
I
to run
know.
Any magazine, any publication.
This is true.
Yeah.
You know, this is true, but there's a very small percent that goes to the homeless people, and they also have to pay for them silly things they have to wear, like the little outfit and stuff. They're like £30 each for one of those little things.
Which is all promo so marketing.
Yeah, you know, it's exactly. So there are homeless people who, A, are in no shape to do that kind of thing mentally.
That's the point that I'm making, like, yeah.
Any kind of thing. I know and talk with homeless people mm-hmm. who just want to be left alone. Mm. You know what I mean? And the idea of them even being in a hotel room for a night is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like,
and that to me is when you reach a place where it's no longer the problem of why are people home, of let's give these people homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem of what is psychologically happening to human beings to make them not be able to cope with being in a home. And it's the pressure society puts on us and the lack of help that people are getting. And that's the saddest part about it. And only the people who control our system can actually help that.
And this is the thing that I think for many people who are like stuck in the run-of-the-mill 9-to-5, you know, lives, which everyone's feeling pressures in different kinds of way in their life, aren't they, sort of thing. But, you know, that's a whole invisible world that they have no real understanding of what's behind it. And they just think, oh, that's just some bum. Like, if I'm able to, like, get my kids ready for school and do X, Y, Z, like, and my life ain't easy.
Yeah.
They need to pull their socks
up. You hear
kind
stories
of thing.
Like that, oh, go and get a job, you know what I mean? Stop begging, get a job. Like, you can't get a job if you haven't got ID.
Mm.
You can't get ID if you can't get a bank account. You can't. It's a catch 22.
There
are people
address.
In that city. That's what I'm saying. You can't do anything. Yeah. You can't get a bank account because you have no address. So you can't get a bank card. You can't get ID. I know a guy who has no birth certificate ever. Not that he's lost it. He has no identification of who he is. And he's been out
man.
In the streets for like, no. He's free in a sense, you know what I mean? But he's in another sense, he's free, completely trapped. You know, freedom in
system,
itself can become a prison, you know. Even the search of freedom can imprison you sometimes, ironically. You know, and there are people out there like that. And there are also a lot of veterans out there who've come from the Iraq war or whatever, and they fought for queen and country.
Lost limbs, you know,
they're out in the street, they get no help.
Mm-hmm.
They get no help with their mind or anything, you know, and it's disgraceful,
but
really.
But this is what I've seen globally is a key part of the issue, is there's a psychological problem. It's kind of also the same with dealing with addiction as a criminal behaviour, when really, when you go to certain countries, like in Scandinavia, they deal with addiction as a medical issue,
yeah.
And that's how it needs to be treated, as a medical issue, not a criminal issue. And it's actually more effective like that. And so when you go to Netherlands, their prisons are underpopulated and they have to like sell prison space cells to other countries because they haven't got enough people in prisons out there.
So what, people get arrested in, say, like Belgium, and then they go, right, you're going to prison over...
Yeah, so it's like they'll make deals with other countries to rent their prison cells because they don't have enough population in prisons there. Because their approach to substance abuse is dealing with it as a medical
issue. It's a psychological problem.
Yeah.
And that's actually more effective than taking someone with a medical or psychological issue and putting them in with like violent, like, you know, child abusers, whoever it is kind of thing. You know, that's only going to lead more likely into a situation to be to offend like in the future and stuff. So really it's understanding that there's deep psychological issues that are often behind people's stories that end up them being in a position where they're sleeping on
the
street.
I would say there isn't one case what
it's
isn't
not just
psychological
being lazy.
It's not being lazy,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And I completely relate to it because I understand in my own mind that I couldn't do certain work. I'm not knocking it, and I wish I could do it, but I couldn't work in an office. I couldn't work in a shop. I personally couldn't do none of that, and it's just very lucky that I found myself with some kind of ability to earn money another way. Otherwise, I'd probably be in a struggle myself, very similar to these people. So I relate to it, you know what I mean? And also relate to mild mental health issues, and I also relate to drug problems. So when I'm seeing people out there, I instantly relate with them more than I relate with your average human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be real, I talk to homeless people, and I enjoy their company more than most average people's company, you know what I mean? I enjoy the reality. There's no airs, you know what I mean? Once you get through the borders and they trust you, there's no airs between you and them, and they will tell you what they're thinking and they will think what they tell you, you know what I mean? And I relate to that. There's honesty and there's integrity, you know?
I think another interesting interview I heard recently was, speaking with homeless people, but talking about how there's says that you actually find a lot of homeless people who will get into things like self-harming and stuff like that because they're like, look, if I can injure myself, that means I'll get a bed in a hospital for the night. Or if I, you know, commit a crime, then I'll get at least to stay in the cell for the night so I won't be on the street. You know, speaking to homeless women when they're saying, if I'm sleeping on the street, I'm risking being raped, attacked, all kinds of things, forced into, you know,
prostitution, kind of stuff like being pimped
and
stuff.
And so I will become a criminal on purpose. I don't want to commit crime, but I'm doing this so I can get off the street.
Of course.
You know, so it's just, it's such, and that's what I think was really well put together with your film is how you're able to convey these stories in a way that people who are completely outside of the box can really like connect with it. And a wicked thing about the film too is that you've had this album that you've put together as well, right?
Yeah.
So tell people about the album.
That's a compilation LP with like 26 tracks on it of all different artists from the UK. They've all donated their track for free. I've sold it. It's raised like, I don't know, in total it's about £6,200 with a few extra donations, which wasn't for the album, but you know, that whole movement has kind of done that. I've bought like 300 sleeping bags, which will be here in a week or two from China.
Yeah, you went straight to the source as well.
You just got to cut out the middle people. So it took a bit long, you know, to be honest, the company I used started messing us around at the end and I thought I was going to have to bring in solicitors and all kinds, you know what I mean?
But I thought he was going to say the man then.
The triads. Yeah. You know what I mean? But no, I mean, I thought I was going to have to get like legally heavy with people. Yeah, or get Julian onto them or something. But no, they pulled their finger out in the end. You know, a really kind guy who runs a shipping company called AM Shipping. He has a thing set up in China, and he's this year and last year shipped them over from China for free, which would normally cost in excess of £1,000 to do. So he's doing this off his own back. He delivers them to whatever address I ask in London, and you know, got a big amount. He's like a proper vital asset to what I'm doing.
But along everyone contributed the tracks for free as well.
Everyone donated the songs for free, and which is beautiful, you know. And there's names on there, and there's people who are coming up who I wanted to just feature on there, but just because they're talented, and it's a nice situation for them to kind of expose their talent through. It's been beautiful throughout, you know what I mean? And the response from it has been beautiful, and obviously the money, it will last me all year round.
You're
and possibly
have a great holiday this summer, aren't you? No, I'm joking.
I've been on a few holidays since then. I was wondering if people are thinking, rah, man's off in Lapland, rah, man's wifey's in Asia, like, what's going on? You know what I mean? I ain't seen no sleeping bags on road yet.
It's coming.
Do you know, I keep a paper trail of everything I do and spend money on, because one day someone might accuse me of something.
One day you might be in the
Ecuadorian
embassy.
Exactly. But you know, jokes aside, it has been a beautiful, humbling experience, and the money itself will keep me doing what I do for homeless people for the year ahead without fail. And I'm going to set up a page on my website, which is going to be people are going to be able to offer their services, and I'll take two different people out once a week to come and do it with me and get involved and I'm also starting up a whole new charity which is going to help terminally ill children go on holidays of their dreams, low income based parents with terminally ill children to take their kids on holiday. That's coming.
So what's the web link so people can find more information?
www.realtalk-records.com.
And via there you can find links to the album, which I definitely recommend picking up. I've already been bumping tunes from the album on this show, and you can also find a link to watch the film as well. It's definitely worth watching.
The film is online,
it's on
for
YouTube. You can get it on my on the website. There'll be a link to it, and soon the guy, bless him, Drew at Brain Food Media, he looks after all my, he made my website and stuff. He does so much work for me for free as well. Couldn't do what I've been doing without his help, literally, you know what I mean, because I can't do that sort of thing at all. So he does all the designs on all the things, and he's just a legend throughout, so I've got to big him up. He's going to make a new page on the website which will deal with just charitable stuff that I do, and so I'll keep people posted about that. Really,
so he'll
be
really
up every month overall. He'll be here anyway, letting you mother lovers know, just in case you lot try to forget, because we know what you lot are like out there trying to forget things. Happy New Year shit.
So really, Chester, you know, you deserve a
big up.
as well. I know that was a bit delayed in the show, but I thought we have to play a track from the album today as well, because you've pulled together some amazing artists, and one of my favourite MCs in the country, Ransom Bad Bones, is on this one, and I think he just really summed up a lot of the mood of what you've been discussed in the film.
He was homeless,
and
you know,
so he can relate.
Like, he was real.
This track is produced by Harry Love as well. Some deep lyrics on here. Keep it locked, because right after this, we're going to be getting into some of your emails and open mic too. It's Fubar Radio.
Wow. Imagine not having a bed or a yard to sleep in, dozy in the park freezing, listening to your heart beating. Start scheming because you're hungry and your pocket's broke. Listen up, bro, it ain't no joke and you ain't got a home. Because you can only hold on for so long till you're looking back on life like, where did I go wrong? 15 years old, roaming in the blistering cold, walking alone at late nights with nowhere to go. And so, there ain't no letting me forgetting that I had it hard. Got into smashing glass and keeping in abandoned cars, or catching Zeds on the benches of the underground platforms. Underneath my jacket, it ain't that warm. 5 to 10 cats scotching in this empty gaff, petty rats thinking of a better way to get some cash. Robbing and stealing, pickpocketing, shoplifting, sick of the pigs' grips and existing but not really living. Relying on the buzz of weed to get high, with the reddest gleam in my eyes, 365. It ain't no surprise when you're eating off of dirty plates. On my face I'm losing weight, heading for the pearly gates. Ain't nothing sweet living on the street, it's a jail with no bars and you ain't getting a release. Ain't nothing sweet living on the street, it's a jail with no bars and you ain't getting a release. It's serious when you're homeless, when to get one cooked meal in a day would be a fucking bonus. So respect your gates, keep your mind straight, learn to appreciate brothers. It's serious when you're homeless, when to get one cooked meal in a day would be a fucking bonus. So respect your gates, keep your mind straight, learn to appreciate. Too many youth them have a warm home and take that shit for granted, cause they never got their ass kicked or held some proper hardships. So be careful when your mama's had enough, cause when a woman is fed up, blood, you're better off the dust. The next thing you know, your home is now the roads, with drugs to be sold under the noses of the popo. They call it crime, but I'm calling it survival, cause that's what Jesus and Moses taught us in the Bible. My thoughts were kinda suicidal, my emotions numb, family breakdowns, I couldn't get along with mum. Rotting up in Heathrow like it was my second home, preferably stone, dressing bummy clothes from head to toe. My fingers froze on them cold nights, just another problem child, stuck to the street like road signs. Abusing alcohol when the ciggies and the fillies and a squat cotch, ain't nothing pretty in the city. It's shitty when the course of your life just turns gritty. You gotta keep your head up above the water and stay witty. My physical and mental are unhealthy, and all the medication and counselors can't help me. Ain't nothing sweet living on the street, it's a jail with no bars and you ain't getting a release. Ain't nothing sweet living on the street, it's a jail with no bars and you ain't getting a release. It's serious when you're homeless, when to get one cooked meal in a day would be a fucking bonus. So respect your gates, keep your mind straight, learn to appreciate brothers. It's serious when you're homeless, when to get one cooked meal in a day would be a fucking bonus. So respect your gates, keep your mind straight, learn to appreciate.
That track is called Appreciate. That's taken from the Real Talk Records album, put together by Chester P. It's all part of the project surrounding the film Hip Hop, Homelessness and the Housing Crisis. It's out now. We're going to be tweeting that for you, so hit us up on Twitter at FubarRadio.com. It's Sarah Love and the one and only
My Stiggy. I want to say Happy New Year, Happy New Year, and a Happy fucking New Year. Do you know why? We still haven't worked out when we should stop
but
saying this shit.
But there's 40 minutes left before we're going to get to the... I want to get to the bottom of this by 6 p.m.
Sarah's trying to... This is Sarah on the slide, just making sure by the end of today, no one says it again, innit?
No. I just want some official cut-off.
It's like 6 p.m.
Just want the official cut-off. But you guys are still hitting us up about it. What are people saying? On hiphop at foodbarradio.com, by the way, is the way to get in touch on the email.
And Carlin Tooting has said, he said, Happy New Year, guys. I say Happy New Month to all my work colleagues and friends on the first of the month. They seem to love it.
He's coming with the remix.
Wow, Carl's, that's pretty deep. I mean, look,
Happy nice. Why not? Why exactly. not?
For me, that's nice. That's like, yeah, happy new month. Why do we have to wait till the beginning of the year to say this shit?
Happy new day.
Do you know
day.
What I mean? Mm. Happy new day. Happy new breath.
Minute.
Yeah. Every minute.
Happy new second. Happy new second. Happy new second. Happy new second.
That would be time consuming.
You should see Chester's face when he's saying it, man. He's really meaning it.
I mean this, man.
That was from the heart.
All right. And then we got one last one. John. Oh, John says, just covering all bases. I like this one. Happy New Year. He says, I say happy birthday to everyone I meet. Also say happy Halloween. Merry Christmas. Happy Independence Day.
Mm-mm.
And Thanksgiving. Right. Just covering all
bases. Oh, is he American?
Oh, that's
covering
it.
All bases.
That's all the bases.
I like that. John, that's,
but
you
then,
know
John,
I mean?
Really, you need to go through each country. And run through every one of each country.
Yeah, I guess if you're saying Thanksgiving, because we don't say Thanksgiving.
We're
the ones who created...
You know, to be honest, Thanksgiving is an awful thing to celebrate anyway.
Should be thanks-taking.
And even Independence Day, we're the ones who actually grant the independence. So I don't know whether you should be saying that to anyone.
Celebrating losing.
I thought it was Will Smith and the aliens.
Isn't it? Oh my god, think shit. How many kids out there though are truly like that's as deep as it goes, as far as the history goes back to them.
Independence Day, fam, I didn't even watch the end of it.
That's that film where Will Smith beats up the aliens.
But
I think there's a lot of women as well who just be, I think they'll agree with Nat that it needs to stop.
Independent Women's Day.
Independent Women's Day.
Why is it a lot of women?
Beyonce,
because of Valentine's Day.
I was gonna say it's got stop by February because they're like, okay, men need to start getting their minds geared up to think about them for Valentine's.
And then after Valentine's, you got to start thinking about Easter.
Do women in this day and age, like proper women, real women? Do they think about Valentine's Day?
Well, you know, me being my name's Sarah Love.
You like a Valentine's card and gift and stuff.
I can't remember the last time I got a Valentine's card or gift. Because I'm an independent woman, truly.
That's it.
No. But for me, I don't need to be given a day to tell somebody how much
that's
they
what
mean
I'm saying.
To me.
Exactly.
You know? But I think there's lots
day.
Of... And then I just think... maybe this is the cynic in me again kind of thing. But it's like, why... It's such a corporate thing. Like,
exactly.
Where this gets, the same as with Halloween and all
with
this
everything.
Stuff. It's like, all of these companies need something to gear
sell
us
you.
Up to keep their
Easter,
businesses
we got chocolate,
going.
You got Christmas, you got Valentine's Eggs. Day. It's just a bit like, come on, give me a break, man.
Can we just mix it up?
Broke.
We should just mix it up, like celebrate
just
Easter.
Just put it all on one day. Everything on one day.
Your Easter eggs, Valentine's card.
Just scrap it all, you know, at the end of
birthday
the day. Come, it's like Poppy Day. Like, why are we spending our money to celebrate the dead when we could be giving that money to help children in need?
That's true.
Who are alive.
This is true.
You know?
But poppies make heroin, so I'm not mad at that.
But I just also think, you know, it's like when you put so much emphasis and focus on things like Valentine's Day, it's like there's people out there really getting down, man, that no one's giving them a shout out on these days. And really, you just got to think outside the box. It didn't mean anything. You're not worried about that in June, are you?
That's not love.
You know?
That's what love is. Like, someone can't tell you today you've got to love your partner more than any other day of the year. It's like, are you having a laugh?
The sad thing about it is that it does, like, is it Saint Valentine's? There's a guy who went to jail. There's a story behind Valentine's
Day. It's deep blood.
Yeah, it is pretty deep. But
well,
it's sad
Valentine
that
was a real, well, we say dude. Real in inverted commas kind of thing. He was meant to be real.
Yeah, you know,
we've even got St. Patrick's Day and people go crazy about that too.
Oh my,
and he was Welsh.
Green people paint themselves green. They paint the Guinness
and they're
green.
Not Irish.
Yeah,
and you know the one that
green
toenails. Speaking of dude who wants to shout out all of them. Have you heard of this Schwarte Peter Day?
No.
What?
That's some messed up businessman, and that needs to stop. In Holland, you think of the Netherlands
as
being like a really civilized, forward-thinking place where they don't have anyone in prison there and stuff. They have a day called Schwarte Peter, and they've created this story behind it.
That word must come from Schwartz.
Black Peter.
Yeah, Schwarte is black. Yeah, Peter. But the whole story is that it's meant to be a boy got stuck down a chimney or something, and so this is why it's really deep meaning for them, and it's just part of their culture that they have to celebrate, where everyone blacks up, and it's just that that's literally the whole country is blacking up walking around the street. But then it's like they try and claim that it's nothing to do with there's nothing racial in it, and it's like, yeah, but none of this was happening before the like Dutch colonization of the world either.
Oh, so the story about a guy getting stuck in a chimney, that's just to
they've made
cover
that up,
it up
to boycott people's ideas. Because
I wouldn't be mad at that
racial.
As a black man, I wouldn't be mad at that if that's true. But if it's like they're using that just to cover it all up, then it's like, okay, because yeah, I've got black friends in Holland as well, and they are.
You know,
I've
got
a bit
black
like,
friends.
Yeah. I'm not a racialist.
I'm not racist.
I do go out with some of you a lot.
Some
like,
of my best friends
mean?
Are black.
Yeah, like they drink Ribena and all that. But yeah, like, you know, so it's kind of like it feels like it's a bit condescending when there are a bunch of white people walking around with shoe polish.
Listen,
on.
I think that's just yeah.
It's
that's
a straight
more condescending. That is get the black slapped off you moment.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
But also, I mean, if you feel bait when you sit, like my sister and my nieces were in Holland on Zwarte Pieter Day, and like my nieces just straight up went into people's faces and took pictures of them, and they're all like, it's like, if there was nothing bait about it, you wouldn't be feeling bait.
Yeah,
would
yeah,
you?
Exactly, yeah, only the offensive.
And,
offended,
and the whole, it's blatantly a racial thing. And Zwarte Pieter Day, but for them, it's real nostalgic where it's like, this is our heritage. We need to hold on to this.
So a guy got stuck in a chimney and they celebrate it.
I think it's something to do. That's the story.
Is that the Netherlands? You're talking about, yeah, Holland, and it's basically what it's the Netherlands. It's people from the Netherlands, not you know, currently who went over to South Africa.
Yeah.
So I
and
mean,
became Afrikaans.
The connotations there are too deep.
Exactly.
Man.
So don't try and pass it off like it's about a chimney. And even if it is about a boy getting stuck down a chimney, come on.
Yeah, but
how do you celebrate
a guy getting stuck in a chimney?
Why are you celebrating that?
Yeah, that's the weird thing.
That's like Santa. You know what I mean? Getting stuck in the chimney, coming out all sooty. Look,
exactly. So really,
and he didn't. That's the thing about Santa. He didn't come out of a blackface. So
no,
somewhere,
never.
Someone's fucking with us here.
Yeah, you get me.
Because he's got a white beard.
And he's a bit fat to get down anyone's chimney.
Really, Zwarte Pieter, that's going to be a good way to kick off.
Are you taking a piss?
So remember to hit us up in the studio at hiphop@foobarradio.com because we are going to get into some Are You Taking the Piss? That's right. Coming up right after we speak to our featured MCs, Ash the MC and Reveal.
Ash the author. Get it right,
I'm
Sarah.
I'm sorry. I'm multitasking. And that's coming up right after we have one more J Dilla track for you before we're up out of here. We're talking about the rawness right now, so I thought let's bring that
keep it real.
Yes,
keep
exactly. It's hip hop on Fubar Radio. Get in touch with us. It's Sarah Love Mice Diggy taking you through till 6 p.m. Open mic coming next. It's all about the rawness. Yeah.
Yes.
Now everybody, yeah. Just gather round.
Come on.
Do it.
What?
Just get on down, yo.
Yeah.
Shit, I like my sound raw.
That's right, you too.
I know you do too.
Yeah.
On the down low, yo. I'm fucking with you. Now everybody say I love that raw shit.
That raw shit.
I like it.
I love it.
Say I love that raw shit.
That raw shit.
I like it.
I love it.
Here we go, it's the
J-A-Y-L-I-B. Dilla dog, hold the track, hold the facts. Like your back and mold the raps, hold the Mac.
So what's your role in this music?
Man, same questions, I'm just trying to create new compositions.
To innovate, to real estate, the paperweight. To renovate, to take the place, to integrate. To play your hate, lay your fate, and keep it live. When we roll, cause we cold, coming in stereo. Roll the pole, get the hole, everywhere we go. Get that knot, nigga, please. On your mop, trigger squeeze on your knees. While I'm one of these, like no dose. Or coke up in your nose, or weed up in your lungs, or heroin in your veins. You know it's over just by saying the name. It's Hall of Fame all up in this game. So what up, Ma? You coming with me?
J-A-Y-L-I-B. Now everybody, let's gather round. Cause all we want to do is just get on down, man. I like the sound, bro. I know you do too. It's on the down low. I'm fucking with you. From the front to the back, people jump to the track, cause it's pumping like crack. Get the funk in the back of the trunk, they're the track to jump off. Run back, come back, cause they like the raw shit, they want that. Jump back when I kiss myself, like James Brown. You got to lay down, it's not the safe sound, it's not the playground. We hot, we spray rounds, shot the plane down. We got the place around it, you held hostage, do this, get down shit. Jay
do madly. Who I get down with? Sound sicker than Chief Baca and Brown. Nigga, put it down when I get around my out of town.
Now everybody, let's gather round. Cause all we want to do is,
yeah,
just get on down, man. I like the sound, bro. I know you do too. It's on the down low. I'm fucking with you.
So much ill dealer music to play. It was pretty hard for me to whittle it down for you this week. That track was actually J-Lib, which was J Dilla and Madlib. They formed a group together that cut features Talib Kweli. It's called Raw Shit. And Talib Kweli was a guest on the show a few weeks back. So if you've missed any of the past shows, make sure you hit up foobarradio.com/hiphop and you can listen back to all of our podcasts right there. And every week on the show, we have something which I think is very important. It's it called the open mic.
Yeah.
And this week we have two very talented MCs with us. Ashley Orford, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Oh, how there. Let you, me bruv? Put your microphone up. That'll help. Sorry, say that again. Yo. I'm not hating.
How you doing,
on you.
Bruv?
Yeah, I'm blessed. You?
Yes, you got you down good? Here all right. There was no traffic.
Right, the trains are all delayed. The weather's gone a madness. I'm telling you, but
is it?
Where do you come from originally?
I live in Reading, so born and raised.
Okay.
Boogie down Berkshire. That's where we're at.
Yeah, and so what's like your? How long have you been involved in the music, making music?
Well, properly like 2 years, maybe. Started hosting a night in Reading and a night in London called Holding Court.
Mm.
So it's just a hip hop night. We've had mice, had everyone really. So just been doing that and making music with all my homies in Reading and in London. So
have you got any records out so far?
I'm dropping my debut single in a couple of weeks on Boom Bap Professionals label. So
nice.
If you go out to boombappro.com, you can download that. And yeah, just a couple more projects coming out this year and just trying to get to Boom Bap Festival this summer. So
did you enter the BRAP competition then?
Yeah, man. So
people have been going crazy over that shit. Yeah. Asking me like, how do you use? I'm like, I don't even know, bro. I'm just judging it. I don't know how to use the shit. That's good to hear though, man.
And so we look forward to hearing you more. BRAP also, we had those guys and with Pavan the Foreign Beggars on the show a few weeks too. So you know, we're bringing you all that goodness right here. So definitely check out them podcasts and listen back. And we're also joined by a brother in the game, reaching back many years.
Still young, man.
I mean, as in, there's much history here. It's funny because a lot of it last week we had Nova on the show.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's not called Supernova anymore. He's called Nova.
Nova.
Yeah.
Nova Flip. And, it's actually Nova Flip. So
and, Nova Flip. Yeah. And it was similarly with Reveal, who's in the house right now. These are people who I remember as young, fresh-faced boys
you trying
in
to
the
say?
Record
yeah,
store.
Yeah, just trying yeah. to,
no,
isn't
joking,
it?
Joking,
no, you're all like so-ass business and master's degree and all that stuff now. No, but Reveal, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having
Reveal
me.
Reveal like revelations, boy. Yeah, it's man, good to see you, man.
Likewise, bro.
Yes, man. How you been?
Yeah, there, man. Just like Sarah was saying, I was like, I'm involved in this kind of hip hop education thing.
Yeah.
And like, I've just been doing that for
what's
a while.
What's that? Well, break it down.
It's kind of like, it's using hip hop with youths that are like at risk and hard to reach. So I run workshops with kids in supplementary schools and pupil referral units and do outreach work on different estates and stuff. Jeez. But I'm still on the music. Like, I'm still like working on things here and there. Yeah. I ain't had nothing out for a little minute. But I've got something coming and I've got this little, I'm re-releasing What Estate with the HD video, with the vinyl. We're doing a little, we're redoing all of the Poisonous Poets mixtapes as a little physical mixtape.
So break down quickly for the Poisonous, people might not know P, Poisonous Poets.
Yeah,
just Fubar might be happy to hear about this. Go on, break it down.
Basically, Poisonous Poets, it was, original lineup was me, Doc Brown, Therapist, and Tony Dangerous, and then we were joined by Loki and Styler, DJ Snips on production as well. And yeah, man, that was our clique. We were signed for a hot minute back in the day.
Yeah, BMG, wasn't it? Was it BMG?
Yeah, it was BMG.
And the cool thing, it's funny because, chatting to obviously Loki, Tony, Doc, and that, and people might not know, but Reveal is like a heavy inspiration for a lot of these guys that.
I mean, that's have, nice to say, man. That's nice of you lot to say.
Well, they've said it as well, do you know? I've heard
well, then it's true, then,
so,
man. You know what I'm saying?
So it's pretty cool.
Everyone knew each other through me, do you know what I mean? So originally, when we was like, what are we going to call ourselves? I was like, Reveal's boys, isn't it? But they're not weren't really on it. Yeah. So,
we don't want to come up like little
I've
bitches.
I've got to go for a pee. Oh, I like that one, bro. Little star. Yeah,
it was a Rascass lyric. He says something about poisonous poet. And then, we just took the. I like the idea of poison, innit? I like the idea of a substance that can.
I mean lyrically, innit?
I feel like it's that condensed version of lyricism, innit?
Amazing. But so yeah, it's good to see you're still doing stuff, and you're saying so you're about to re-release the
if people like if they follow me on Twitter at Reveal Poison and that, it'll all be announced there. But basically, I've got a new project coming, but in the run up to that, I recently came across some old Water State vinyls that were in storage, and so I'm gonna put them up. And then re-release all the old Poisonous Poet stuff with some unreleased stuff as well in the run up to it, kind of, do you know what I mean? Just like you say, for people that they don't know, because we're generations away now, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But just one or two. Don't laugh, but brother.
I'm on this show improving, you know what I mean? I'm on this kind of like, I don't believe like when people are like, oh, you have to know about this and you have to know about that. I'm like, let's put our cards on the table, man. Do you know what I mean?
So
I
this think. Is pretty cool. We got a young, fresh guy, another young, fresh guy. I ain't saying that you're not young, fresh.
I wasn't saying Ash, you ain't Ash young,
two
or
years,
fresh.
2 years in the game. Reveal's been what, like 10?
Too long, son. No, joking.
Well, I remember Reveal coming to Intense's yard when he was like 14 or something.
Wow. That's what I said. And also,
I was only a kid then, and he come along there and he started spitting some bars, and we were all like, whoa. Yeah.
Like, damn.
No, talking like, about, you man was talking about influences, that man. I got to hail up both you, man. Like, Myers and Chester, they were big influences at the time. I was reading Hip Hop Connection. And you know them ones, it's just them ones.
And also, Revs, I have to remind you too about how I remember back in the day, Skinny Man, he often used to refer to you as Lick or Pun.
Their people did, man.
Skinny started it.
No, actually proper started it. It was Paradise from 57th Dynasty.
Wow. Okay.
Lick or Pun.
Because I used to move with, I used to go school in South, innit? You remember, I used to come check my ass and that. And then I used to know a lot of them Brixton boys, so originally, I mean, some of them little raves and that's kind of where that thing started.
They were heavy as well, man.
Yeah, man, Paradise is still doing his thing. And that's foundation.
Is he under a different name now, though?
I think he's still Paradise, the Nomadic. I think he's slightly changed his name, but he's involved in a lot of good work and like he's doing a lot conscious stuff. And
good, man.
And you've recently been working with Rodney P on his Under the Influence doc as well, haven't you? You've been involved in that, right?
Yeah, it was called Under the Influence. It's like a little exploration of UK hip hop as framed through the story of Rodney P and London Posse, so it should be on general release soon, man. I think both of you guys, everyone's in it as well. I don't get invited to them. My bad, I was just a researcher, man.
I always say I never get invited, but I get used to that. I'm used to the not being invited.
No one wants to be outshined.
Yeah, this forehead.
No, I'm joking.
You know what I mean? You'll get outshined easily. So
anyway,
into more less shiny objects.
Let's get into this. Okay, because I don't want us to run out of time or nothing and people not to get to hear your bananas bars. It's FUBAR Radio. Every week we bring you the open mic, and this week we have Ash the author. Are you going to be called to set us off?
Yeah.
Let's get the beats rolling like this.
Yo.
Shouts out to Cher,
a Reveal in the building. Shouts out to Mike Diggy.
Yeah.
It's FUBAR. Open mic. Let's do it.
It's Ash the author. Yo. It's Ash the author. He steps to the bat. Hits a home run, my gold ton, severing tracks. Represent holding court. We ain't never been whack. Leave MCs down and out like a ketamine rap. Forget all your chat. Lyrics like a breath of fresh air, but pass me your dusty looping. Tear it up. See, these MCs are scared of us. Leave them lost for words like the first time meeting Chess and Sarah Love. Yeah, you know it's Ash the author in the house. FUBAR Radio, you know we getting down.
Getting
on the freestyle
down.
Tip, coming straight off the top. Hotter than a Molotov. Yeah, you know we don't stop. Like, bring the fire like you just stepped inside of hell. How long do I have in this world? I guess that time will tell. Ash the author, yeah, we'll always scribe and tell. The man behind the bars, but I ain't talking about a life in jail.
Nice. Ash the author. Back and forth, man. Cypher it out, bruh. Reveal, what you got? Listen.
Yeah, most these rappers are dickheads, scared to do something different. Never leave the comfort zone like an agoraphobe in the village. I roam the globe with my lyrics. Poisonous poet, bring a lethal dosage, addiction, comatose in my victims. What they doing is gibberish. Can't promote it, spitting venom. I spread to registered weapon. I holster my lyrics. Unique talent, don't get it twisted. Never seen this ability on the track like the first time at the Paralympics. Don't call me blood. We are not brothers. I'm on a whole other plane, kinda like lost luggage. No time for these haters or these fake snakes, trying to make rays like the sun. When I rise, watch as day break, and then it dawns on them. Ain't no effing with revs. Any effort to test the best will only mess up your rep. So fam, get left depressed, won't even get up from bed. It's effortless, I rep for West with every breath in my chest, and my head's a treasure chest. Believe that my mind's a gold mine. Ain't joking, most of these spitters don't write their own rhymes. They get credit for lines if they buy some phone time. I'm bioluminescent, I provide my own shine. Pause, no awards, but I've been through a couple wars. It's reveal, separate the real from these fucking frauds. These days too many lanes spitting the same difference. I'm old school like Nintendo, my game shape different. I ain't gonna front like our age ain't different. They was learning to shave, I was on main stage spitting. Took a break from the game, but then my name stayed ringing like an AK spitting, cause I spray Ripper.
Oh!
See that style I was talking about.
Fuck the rhyme pad, I got myself a library. Whack MCs, go and find their styles filed under E. For exaggerated, cut back the statements. Grabbing mics, leave crowds in mass amazement. When you're on it, you can even hear a pin drop. Any clever metaphors that you could ever think of, the ink drops. That's evidence of the dripping pen. Finish off the verse, time for another drink again. Every day we're getting wavy, yeah, we're surfing it. The journalists document the world and its occurrences. Affirmative, I'm a sir with this. Every word I spit turns them out to lava, so you know that I will burn your script. But it's claimed that writers end up leaving with a severed hand. Every day keep on building like it's Lego, man. And all the critics left silent like a church mouth, proud to bring the fire, so the venue getting burnt down. That's right, it's the alphabet killer. Salute to all the writers that's about to step with us. And every time you know I got a show, love, on the mic dropping shit so big it won't flush. Yeah, you know what? Shouts out to Mike Stiggy, Sarah Chester P. Yeah, you know we get silly. We've revealed, yeah, the poet with the poison round tracks from Bristol to Bournemouth, from Hendon to Croydon. Ooh, yeah, you know we destroyed them.
Yeah, where's that new shit, Revs? It's been too long now. I took a break, a rear land a disc, and I'm back strong now. Ooh. Let me explain, I'm back to Heisenberg the game. Revs is blue meth, the shit will never be the same, cause the name rings bells like Salamanca. A standard stanza on my verses like a backhand to the average rapper. Back to back, I'll be smacking them actors acting gangster. Verbal murder holding golden gun, Scaramanga. Witness the force of my war grammar, metaphors, floor shatter like Thor's warhammer. They could bring a 4-4 broadsword or dagger with a mouth. Send them back with their jaws all shattered, war rapper. Start spitting and storms form patterns, look I'm all for banter. But when you start mistaking frauds for gangsters, I had to step in. You're misguided the youngest with that fakeish that you're repping. Roll yourself a fantasy life in studio sessions. If you've been through ish, your game's stressing. Your brothers ain't been through shit, you're straight lesson. You're guessing. Yo, your brother straight guessing. Look through the vine, kicking the Insta like views, follows and Twitter hype. I wonder what happened to the days when rappers ripped the mic. Never rocked the show, I ain't surprised they can't grip it right. Remind me of amateur gunmen on the sideways pistol hype. Try so hard to look the part that they missed the target. Real spitters and marksmen, you rappers just some starlets. I ain't aimed this at any particular artist, but so much fakeness in the game I wouldn't know who to start with. Sure, name drop, put up a couple of fake fucks, but really failed to see the sport in hunting these lame ducks. Got bigger fish to fry like governments who enslaved us. Still they better run cause their game's up. I was born in Iran but raised in them London estates. I'm third world and in the city know the hunger and pain. Prince of Persia, I'm back for my crown now. Any pretenders to the crown will start backing them clowns down. Yeah, yeah, big up Foo Bar, everyone inside.
And we get one more verse from each of you two, man. We can't leave it there.
This is too much.
What you got, bro?
Yo, save it for a great day. Hear the sound as the rain splats onto the pavement. Still I got a lay tracks down in the booth, bring the truth, only state facts. Funds disappear without a trace like brain tax. See my job ain't paying me a massive wage. Still smoking, burning my cash away, carrying the weight of the world. Back in strange, spare change, rattle in my pocket like a can of paint. So you see me stacking pennies in a jar, scraping some together for a bevy at the bar. Plenty of them star people living on the breadline. Little kids go with empty bellies till their bedtime. We get by, counting our cash on this low. Winter's coming, need a new jacket, it's cold. Cause the current one's knackered, yeah, it's battered with holes. Soaked in beer stains, sleeves all splattered with chrome. Ain't trying to be a millionaire, just trying to turn a profit. Anything's gotta be better than empty pockets. Ain't trying to make a killing, just trying to scrape a living. Every day lace these tracks for these loot winnings.
Ass, right, you got fire, man.
Yo, Rips. Look. My team divide the cheese up like slicing knives with pizza, but way beyond razor sharp. I'm a diamond kind of a geezer, so fly that I have to apply for visas. Your rhymes are so dry, it's Vaseline they apply, cause the lips are creased up. Poisonous is an anamorphic creature. Lately a lot of people debating exactly who double P are. Poisonous a level they can't reach us. I don't mean to be harsh, but let me just break it down with these three bars. Can't beat us or defeat us, ain't nothing new left the teachers. Though they freestyles, they still need to get out the visas or the MasterCard, cause we started to charge with bars and features. Music's genetically in me like my father's features. You could say music's in my jeans like my yard teaser. I keep it gully cause that's what the streets love. Even though I'm gully fam, I never been broke. All the while I stayed like a dedicated Poisonous fan and kept the peas up. By definition, I could never be a punk. I'm firmly rooted in these London streets like tree trunks. They ain't real just cause they speak fuck. Wouldn't fit into my circle, they too square, triangulate just to perceive us. Another reason why I'd never be broke. So many peng raps, I could fling them on front line with fiends cluck. Whether fiends want speed, be manned, your ecstasy drugs. Snatch your shots, slow the flow of the traffic like speed bumps. Ain't looking beef, but we'll cook that beef up. Yo, listen.
And that was Ash the author and Reveal from the Poisonous Poets. Ash, first of all, how do we get hold of you? Where can we find you on this in digital world out here?
If you just go on any social media website that's going Ash the author, there's only one. So
mm-hmm. Are you on Twitter then? Yeah,
I am on Twitter, but I don't really know what I'm doing with it. So but I am on Twitter. Ash the author RG.
There's only one.
You can
hit me up on there, and just wherever, any jam, anywhere that's going, I'll be there.
Revs,
how can we get hold of you?
All my social media stuff's Reveal Poets. And just one word, so Twitter, YouTube, Facebook and all that. Yeah man, just search me up, man.
Guys, thanks for blessing us, man.
Thanks
as
for
always
having
man.
Us,
that
man.
Was
like,
too
serious.
Much
yeah,
fire.
That's the quality we like to see, like to hear there, man.
That's
if you
want to
check out more
at.
Make sure you go to foobarradio.com, mother lovers.
That was too fresh. Thank you so much for coming through, and you guys are going to be hanging around for a little second.
Yeah we need to find out a few things from you guys. We can't just leave like that. You can't just come rap and bounce. That ain't. Do you know what I mean? We need to know a few things. What has been taking a piss for you lot this week?
But remember, you can hit us up as well, hiphop@foobarradio.com. You know we love to hear from the listeners as well. This is your chance to vocalise the things that are just like making you itch. Can I just start by saying...
Put a vibrato in there, basically. That's what you're saying.
Can I just say that I drunk people... If you can't handle your drink... I'm talking about the drunk people who are like, I'm not shouting, honest, my voice is... And they're like trying to kick science to you or something, and it's like, you are pissed. I'm not drunk, I'm totally sober. It's like, people need to know when their threshold is. It ain't nothing wrong with like having fun and having a few drinks, but come on, man, drunk people, like, you just need to know when to chill.
Are you taking a piss?
I don't mind when they're too drunk, but it's when they start smelling like they're drunk. That's when it starts fucking up. Like,
when you're smelling like
smell
you're drunk and you're not drunk.
2 week old Stella Artois on your breath and shit, man. That's when it's like, bruv, all right, I get you, but I can't hold my breath for 2 minutes.
And they always want to rap at you,
right,
them ones.
Yeah.
Bruv, do you mind if I spit? I'm not one of them guys who's going to come and lick your ass, but can I spit you a bar? And it's like, no, man.
Like, try and sit on your lap.
We're in a club listening to music. I'm not going to hear your bar, man. Go away.
Yeah, I'm on a date with my girlfriend.
You know what I mean? I'm in Sainsbury's, bruv. What do you want? You know what I mean?
I'm in the toilet taking a shit right now.
So definitely that deserves some.
Are you taking a piss?
But we always ask our guests like what this week has made you
might
say.
Might have been on your way here, someone just like
I got a slightly, I don't know if it's like it's a bit serious.
Yeah, go on.
No, that, get as serious that, as you
that,
like.
That, we'll make
can
a joke of it,
here?
But yeah.
That fucking prick that calls himself Roosh that was trying to come over here. You know the bread that's the advocate for rape. And
I didn't hear the story, but so I just saw the headline. I was like, I don't even need to know what the hell this idiot
is. Break that down, because that's a bit, one. There's only one reason why rape would be good. Now I'm joking.
This guy is one fucked up guy. Like,
I'm joking. Jesus.
And like on the thing, like he's got this whole stupid bullshit thing where they're trying to promote like. They're trying to say they should legalise rape and it's some evolutionary step, and he was set to do
what?
A conference.
Yeah. Legalise rape?
Yeah, bruv. And do you know what? Yeah, to make things worse, as much as I'm opposed to this prayer, one of the worst...
He's what?
A pickup artist.
Yeah, but he's also advocates the legalisation of rape if you go on his website, and they were setting up a conference in, I think it was Glasgow, and they called the people that follow him savages, and people protested so much that they shut him down. The hacktivist group Anonymous, they hacked his site.
Oh,
and do you know what really gets under my skin? The guy's, he's originally Iranian like I am.
Seriously.
And coming from a culture where we're taught to like put women up and like respect them, mm. and like it just comes as a double whammy. Sorry, I knew
so
it was slightly.
But what's no, he say, like, how's he saying that? Yeah, it should be legal. Like, what for? What reason?
Right, why so,
should
it be like, legalized? One, I ain't really delved into it because okay. I don't really want to go and actually. I don't even want to give him the view
yeah.
on
might
that.
Come out yeah,
that was
respect.
My stance.
No, not even like that. I mean, more like. But I think what they're trying to argue is something along the lines of survival of the fittest, Darwinian species, survival of the strongest would be the one to dominate the rest. It's some fucked up, backwards, stupid.
Yeah, okay. It's
dumb,
basically
bro.
To get attention.
He needs to get put down.
It worked because yeah.
he needs to get put
it,
down.
It's one of them
yeah.
ones.
Yeah,
like,
he just needs to get put
it's
down.
It's a shame
yeah.
the gay cray ain't alive. We could just fling him in a cell
straight.
With him and say, now legalize rape.
Straight.
Like, you know what I mean? Just yeah, drop yeah. him off in there. Like,
that's what I was
going to
say.
It.
The only time rape is good is rapists getting raped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
it's like if you're a rapist, you should be thrown into a, like, Rapeville
yeah.
and they just keep fucking with you every
a
minute.
A pit of rapists.
Saying Happy New Year and raping you at the same time.
Sorry, I know I made
the
tone.
Nah, that's
alright,
bro.
Honestly, it was really on my mind.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Ash, anything taking the piss for you this week?
I don't know, I'm having a pretty good week, to be honest. But
yeah, I have that problem. I never really can think
of
what's
been
taking
the piss. You know what, after he said that, there's one guy, I can't remember his name properly, you know, this Martin guy, the guy who bought the Wu-Tang album.
Yeah,
I hate that guy. He just pisses me off every week.
Do you know what?
At least once a week. Like,
do you know what though? I've got to say, like, I watched the interview with that guy, yeah, and he kind of explained a few things, like to do with the AIDS, the drugs.
He's fighting the war in public like Sun Tzu, Art of War. He's winning the hearts yeah. and minds of people, and Ghostface needs to step up and say something, because really and truly, my man's winning the public war, and all the comments on the interview say, oh, we feel what he's saying, because he's doing that thing where you're winning the hearts and minds. He's doing business.
No, he's not winning my heart or my mind, but
no,
I understand.
He's playing that game.
I understand more no. that I think people, because of how he looks and mm. being that he's rich as well, I think people are straight away kind of, you know, painting him with a certain brush. Mm. Now, fair enough, yeah, he's come from nothing. In 2009, he was talking about he only had £100 in his bank account. So someone who's done that well for themselves, but it's annoying that then you become this sort of person that it's like he wants people to hate him, he wants people to not like him.
He's a real life,
which is
it?
Yeah, which is kind of annoying
yeah,
and all that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, all of this, it's just another attention thing, isn't it? It's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like,
that's the thing.
I'm out here doing this, like.
But we're in a world now where people like to give that shit attention. People, you go on Facebook now, and someone would be like, oh, this is shit, look at this.
Yeah, yeah.
And it will have like 6 billion views, and you're thinking, well, look, you're not exactly the one, like, letting us know that we shouldn't be seeing it. You're the one going, yeah, look at this, it's shit. You know, and people seem to like that. They seem to want to be angry at something and then go, look, you be angry as well. You have a shit day because of this as well, you know? So I think the mentality, really and truly, that guy shouldn't be getting the interviews he's getting, or he shouldn't be getting his hashtags and whatnot, you know? Like, that's what's really messing it up,
that's
is the fact
right,
that people
bro.
Are showing it that amount of attention. So to me,
are you taking a piss?
All you mother lovers
to that
out there.
Fall out there. Chester, have you got anything that this week made you say,
are you taking a piss?
That Beyonce tune, man. As I said earlier.
You know what? As a policy, I do everything I can, because I was doing this trick. I was like, I want to see how long I can go before I hear this new Adele Hello song.
Okay, I ain't heard that.
And then this just proves to you that there is a conspiracy.
What's
because
that?
It was against my will that I heard that song, like,
what
and
song?
It's not get this whatever that hello nonsense
I
empty
heard that
white
one.
Noise is.
I don't know what that is
exactly, but you know, you're saying
white
that,
noise.
But say I don't. I'm
driving
white
between
noise.
Them there white lines. Drink white beer.
I'm yeah, saying
that
white
ain't vanilla
noise.
Flavor. That's white flavor.
I'm saying white noise is the dictionary definition of white noise. But yeah, take that as you like. But no, you know, it just shows with all of them tunes, they infiltrate your life without you giving permission.
No, I watched it just because I heard people talking about the way she's carrying on, and she's going on like a gangster now.
Who are we talking about,
Beyonce.
By the way?
Are you
Beyonce?
Taking a piss?
No, I mean, literally, she's going on like a gangster.
What,
and she's like,
she's believing
she starts
her
off
own
and
hype.
She's like, you need to stop talking all this Illuminati trash you're hitting. And you're just thinking, what's this
but
woman
did you see what she's done at
that's
the Super Bowl?
Jay-Z banging the
just
shit out of
her.
She's turned into a male Jay-Z, man. That's what the fuck's happened there, mate.
All her dancers, they come out dressed up as Black Panthers. In the Super Bowl in America.
It's insulting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
all out
you know,
hair,
and
love.
What really
you
annoys
know what
me about it is women
she's
like that, women like her,
right.
Lady Gaga, all these personalities, nothing to do with what kind of music they're into. But then you get women like Lauryn Hill who are talented and respectable, and they get fucking put in madhouse.
But I will say with Lauryn Hill, there, you know,
she's a bit
crazy.
She's got
man.
Some issues as
yeah,
well.
She's got
has
issues,
she?
Chess. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think
yeah.
aside from all that, but even the music, the last thing she put out, it was a bit weird.
Yeah, I didn't like the last song she done.
This is what people don't realise about Lauryn Hill is that her, that album that everyone's going crazy over, she didn't write all of that. And she messed up in a big way. She tried to make it out like she did. Like, the Fugees are known for this. They're known for, like, you know. So the outsiders helped them write all the raps, apart from Lauryn Hill. Then when they put the music out, they rather than them pay you, they say, you have to sue us. You have to take us to court and then we'll give you the money. So she tried to do that with this, with that, what's it called? The Lauryn Hill?
Miseducation.
She tried to do it with that. And she fucked up so much. The people who had produced and written on there ended up getting more than they needed because she lied so much in court. And that's what messed her up.
I never knew none of that.
Do you remember that? Yeah, exactly.
You lot just pissed on my parade. That's what's really pissed me off this week.
Why are you taking the piss?
I can't respect Lauryn Hill no more.
Talib's open letter to her. He's got a tune called Open Letter to Miss Hill.
Who's that?
Talib.
Talib Kweli.
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
And what was he saying quickly?
He was saying a couple of quality things, and then I think they're interesting points of view. He was saying the game needs you. You should come back. It's really interesting. It's a bit old,
yeah,
but
I just think artists
who just start believing their own hype.
Are you taking the piss?
Just sit down, because it ain't all about you. There's a whole world of things going out there, and someone like Beyonce can use a platform like the Super Bowl thing, which I boycotted that nonsense as well. You know, to use that platform to do something for society, but instead it's just this big ego trip.
Are you taking the
Because she had this whole thing about not Beyonce, that was Lauryn Hill. She had this thing about if she walked in the room, everyone had to turn around and look at the wall. One could look at her in her face and all. And that's when you're like, okay, now I don't know whether you're
going to your head a bit.
Do you know what I mean?
You need help.
And it's like, yeah, you know, so
it's an emergency.
Lauryn Hill.
Are you taking the piss?
You know, another, I don't know if any of you guys have seen DJ Khaled recently.
Yeah, of course.
He's the best. Yeah, I'm looking at him right now.
No, but DJ Khaled.
Are you taking the piss?
He's like trying to be everyone's dad or something. There were the motivational speeches, which were hilarious. But then he's got this new song with Chris Brown, which is just appalling
it's my
as well.
Ice.
Yeah. And but no, the song just starts with, "You clever."
Yeah, that's one of his phrases. "You a genius."
"You a genius."
He's saying that to Chris Brown.
No, to some video girl in the video. DJ Khaled, he's given Dave Chappelle a run for his money. Like, I can't tell if that guy's a parody or an actual act anymore, but DJ Khaled.
Are you taking the piss?
On that note, we're going to love you and leave you, mother lovers. Thank you to Chester P for coming through. Thanks to Ash, the author. Thank you to Reveal. This is the Sarah Love Show with Mice Diggy. You can catch us here every Monday from 4 till 6 p.m. If you want to listen back to any of the other shows, foodbarradio.com/hiphop. Up next, we got Badge of Friendship with Claire Lim, Ed Williams, and Paul McCallum.
That is McCallum. And you know, we had to end it with another J Dilla flavour for you guys. Some important big ups we did this week. Thank you so much, Chess, for coming through.
Always
as well.
A pleasure,
it's lovely to have you guys. You guys absolutely burnt up the mic then. That was so
Thanks
much fun.
Us.
Lock in next Monday. Sarah Love and Mice Diggy.
Peace.
Yeah, let's go. Turn it up. Introducing world famous beat junkie.
Sound and substance of the world's hottest entertainment.
Let's talk
for a moment.
I got my mans with me. Get up and rock the hump, and knock throughout the atmosphere. This rap here's something that I felt in the moment. Of truth, opponents in the booth, inspired, cause what I write is fire like roof. They say that I'm as hot as the block is. I say that I'm as cold as the darkest. Knock shit in the gut, trying to get my nigga in the gut. He won't buy. Hold his stony up, poking his chest like holy nut. Smoking the cess, he blow it up as it escapes out the window. I'm a symbol of sex, revolution and sex on the deck. When niggas shoot for extra loot and respect. Live and direct effect from the CO. Double get your paper, but stay up out of trouble, nigga, get up.
Stand up, throw your fucking hands up if you got the feeling. Jump up, touch the ceiling. Get up, stand up, throw your fucking hands up if you got the feeling. Jump up, touch the ceiling. Get up, stand up, throw your fucking hands up if you got the feeling. Jump up, touch the ceiling. Get up.
Get up, niggas. Get live, ladies. Since the early 80s, I rock the planet daily. Radio Rashi, this is how I do when I write things. We party for your right to fight team. Baby girl, you as young as the night seems. Some tight jeans, should it be Kahlua or ice cream? My pipe dreams as long as the fight scenes in the matrix. Scorpio rising, sex fiend by nature. Trying to control that shit so my soul don't get dirty from some girly unworthy of the flowers. I admit that I got strange powers, brain towers like the Eiffel. Leading through life cycle, hold the Bible and a rifle. They can't do me like Mike though. Give me the spotlight and turn the light slow. Make me wanna holler like Cooley, I would do Del Disciple. Street, speed, speech, rhymes, rhymes, life, Joe, get up.
There it is. Just like that. Yup, you know how we do it.